Independent City Planning Board, October 24th, 2022.
Your attention, please. The October 24th meeting of the Ventnor City Planning Board is now in session. This meeting is being held in accordance with public notice thereof and pursuant to the New Jersey State Sunshine Law. Notice of this meeting was advertised in the press and the Current, and a copy of same has been posted on the bulletin board in the municipal building. At this time, would you kindly rise and salute the flag?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Will the board administrator please call the roll?
Jay Cook?
Here.
Commissioner Landgraf is absent. Commissioner Kriebel?
Here.
Roman Zabihach?
Here.
Tom Halpin?
Here.
Lorraine Salata?
Here.
Mike Gleason is absent. Dan Smith?
Here.
Peter Tacco?
Here.
Tim Coob?
Here.
Greg Esco?
Here.
Don Siglin is absent. Wendy Bartlett?
Here.
At this time, we have the adoption of minutes from actually the past two meetings, September 14th and October 12th. Are there any changes or amendments to either of those set of minutes? Hearing.
Sir, I beg your pardon, but I didn't hear what your announcement was.
Okay. Thank you. We'll try that again. At this time, we're going to do the adoption of the minutes from the September 14th meeting and the October 12th meeting of 2022. Are there any changes or amendments to said minutes? Hearing no or seeing no request, may I have a motion and a second for adoption of both of those dates of minutes?
I'll make the motion.
Second.
And a motion and a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? The ayes have it. The minutes are hereby adopted for September 14th and October 12th of 2022. The next item on the agenda this evening are resolutions for adoption. We have three. They are P35-2023 of Mega Sea Isle, P36 of 2022, Karen Gottfried, and P37 of 2022, Gustavo and Susan Doors. At this time, are there any changes or amendments to those resolutions? Hearing none or seeing no requests, may I have a motion and a second for adoption of those three resolutions?
I'll make a motion.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? The ayes have it. The resolutions are hereby adopted. This evening, we have five cases, but one has been removed from the agenda. And if our solicitor could address that, please.
Okay. So if anyone's here for the Stanley Swan application, 6701 Monmouth Avenue, that's block 172, lots 11 and 11.01, that's not going to be heard tonight. That's going to be postponed and rescheduled to November 9th, 2022, 6:30 p.m. In this room, the applicant will not be required to republish or renotice, so that's your notification for that. If you're here for that, so you don't have to sit around all night unless you prefer to. So that being said, we can get into our first application.
Okay. The application this evening will be the first one, will be Christos and Virginia. Kolovos at 103 South Newport Avenue.
Mr. Chairman,
yes, let the record reflect that Wendy Bartlett is recusing herself on this application and is withdrawing herself physically from the board and is now going to a remote section. Please proceed, sir.
That
Thank you. Good evening, everybody. And that microphone definitely amplifies the volume a lot. My name is Robert Baranowski. I'm an attorney with the law firm of Highland Levin Shapiro in Marlton. I'm representing the applicants this evening, Chris and Virginia Colobos, on this matter. We previously received bulk variance relief from the board to do some renovation work, and that was in regard to some side yard setbacks for the decks.
Before we get into your actual application, we have some housekeeping matters to be taken care of.
Sure.
Will you have your witnesses sworn?
Absolutely.
And, so if we can do that now, I'd appreciate it.
Absolutely. Mr. Peter Lazaropoulos, our engineer and architect, is to my right. Ms. Tiffany Morrissey is to my left. She's our planner.
Okay. Yeah, if you each just state your name and address for the record, I'll swear you both in together.
Yeah, my name is Pete Lazaropoulos, 1926 Green Tree Road, Cherry Hill.
Okay.
Tiffany Morrissey, 7 Equestrian Drive in Galloway.
Okay, and can you reach, raise your right hand? Do you swear upon the testimony you're about to give will be the truth?
I do.
Thanks.
If you could, please, both of you. I'm not familiar. Are you a licensed architect?
I am in the state of New Jersey. I'm a licensed architect, a licensed engineer, a professional planner, and I've been in practice for over 35 years. I have been in front of many boards in the South Jersey area.
Thank you very much. Right. And ma'am, your credentials?
I'm a professional planner in the state of New Jersey, as well as a member of the American Institute of Certified Planners.
So let the record reflect that we'll accept the credentials of both professionals this evening. Now, what we're going to do is prior to your, in most of these cases this evening, I'll have our planner and engineer give a preamble on explaining what the case is, and then he'll read that, which is basically his report, and then you will then take over and carry your whole application forward.
Sounds like a great plan to me. I appreciate that. I also just want to mention quickly, Mr. Colobos is also here with us tonight. He's behind me. We're not going to ask him to come testify since, you know, we have all this star power here with our architect and our planner. So, but he is here and he's present. So,
well, thank you very much for attending, sir. At this now, we'll have Mr. McLaren sworn in, please.
Roger, if you can please raise your right hand. Do you swear upon the testimony you're about to give tonight will be the truth?
I do.
Thank you.
Would you please give your report, please?
Sure. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, board members. The report is originally dated April 8, 2022, in regard to the application of Christos and Virginia Colobos. Did I do your service, sir? Good. 103 South Newport Avenue, Block 27, Lot 6.02. Engineering planning report seeking C variances located in the R3 single-family zoning district. As Mr. Baranowski indicated before, they had been in front of this board before and was granted variances for the front yard deck. Tonight they're here for to add a third floor. The applicant has received approvals to construct two new decks in the front of an existing 2.5-story single-family dwelling on the beach block in Newport Avenue across the street from Vetner Community Building and Library. A third floor deck was also approved. The applicant is back in front of the board to seek relief to expand the third floor and create a new flat roof portion that is non-compliant with the ordinances of the city of Vetner. The zoning chart is on page 2, continued on page 3, and I want to point out something in regard to flat roofs in the chart. It says it's 28 feet, however, in the text of my report, which I will hit on next. So I'll go to variances. Side yard setback, third floor on the right, whereas 5 feet is required minimum side yard setback. 4.7 feet exists, and less than 5 feet is proposed. I presume it's 4.7. The applicant will provide testimony exactly what that number would be. Third floor wall setback, flat roof rear, whereas 5 feet is a minimum required setback from the exterior building wall below, and 0 feet is proposed for the entire rear wall, about 2/3 of each side requiring variances. Third floor wall setback for the flat roof on the left side, same reason as above. Third floor wall setback on the right side, same reason as the prior two. Building height is actually eliminated as a variance because we did an ordinance change back in 2019 and it was never codified, but it still is an ordinance and it exists today. 31 feet for flat roofs is allowed, but are proposing 31.5 feet. However, of that 31.5 feet, most of that, at least 6 inches or maybe more, is a parapet. And a parapet by ordinance is a permitted extension above that 31 feet. So that height is not a variance anymore. No waivers have been requested. I'm not going to go through all my comments. The applicant can address them. They've read the report, and I believe most of the improvements on the rear of the house will not be seen from the street. And recommendations are that they continue on tonight, so I'm not changing those. And I turn it over to Mr. Baranowski and Tiffany.
Mr. Baranowski, it's all yours.
Thank you, sir, and thank you to Mr. McLaren for that overview. I think that really covers most of what I was also going to say.
Well, then you're done.
So we're good. We're in good shape. So I'd like to also just thank the board. We filed this much earlier this year, and we postponed and carried a few times in order to have some just discussions with our neighbor behind us, Mindy Cohn, to discuss the details of the plan and make sure she is comfortable with everything. So, you know, we did discuss to a point where she was satisfied and comfortable with us moving forward with the proposed plan this evening. So we just wanted to let you know we took the time to do that, and that's why we were, you know, waiting to come before the board. So that's been all situated and copacetic. Okay, so besides that, I think I can have next, if I could please have Mr. Lazaropoulos present the proposal to the board.
Thank you, Bob. In this exhibit, we show the existing property. We highlight that in yellow to show the property line, and in green to show the building footprint. As you can see, the adjacent houses are about 5 feet from the rear property line, while our case, it's 10, which meets the ordinance. At the present time, there are three floors. There are two bedrooms on the lower floor, the first floor, one bedroom on the second, and two bedrooms on the third floor. The building was built about 30 years ago, and there is a section of the third floor that is actually 10 feet away from the property line. It's basically where the variance is. So it's an existing variance that we're asking to expand. The two bedrooms on the third floor are small. They're not very well functioning because the slopes of the roof that comes down. However, by extending the what we call the sill plate, the wall plate, to 8 feet, we can make these bedrooms more functional with bathrooms and make them a lot more usable than they are today. Approximately a quarter of the rear property line, or the rear wall, is already 10 feet. So now we'll expand the full width of the building. The side property line, the 4.7 feet that the engineer discussed is existing. That is on the side property. We're not proposing any work in expanding the building in the east or westerly direction. The building footprint will stay the same, just that the third floor sloping roof will be raised so the back wall is fairly straight and can accommodate these bedrooms. Like I said, the yellow is the existing functional space of the third floor. It's in this area. And the roof line, this is a ridge line here, the roof line goes down to the exterior walls. By lifting these walls, then all of this will become the third floor. So we have an expansion of an existing variance. Now, if the building was to meet the character of the neighborhood, meaning if the entire building was set back 5 feet like the rest of the building, then the third floor would have to be 10, which it is today. So in that sense, by having the building 10 feet from the rear property line, we're compensating or were improvement a possible variance. But it's still there. There's no other proposed improvements on the site for the balance of the site for the property.
Anybody have any questions about that?
Can you confirm the size of the third floor, if it
complies with the 75% of the second floor. You're not exceeding the area of that third floor, is that right?
The third floor, right now, the usable 8-foot-high ceiling of the third floor follows this line. This is a gable. There's a ridge line here, and the ridge line goes down past this point and down to the second floor. So the third floor has this gable that is even with the back wall, and the rest of the roof line comes down to the second floor.
Right. Can you confirm that the area of the third floor, what is that area as percentage of the second floor inhabitable area, 7 feet or higher?
The new area, the new floor area?
Total.
Total floor area.
Of the third floor as compared to the second floor?
Yes.
Yes. The third floor will be the same as the second floor, the same as the first floor.
Can't be.
I don't have that number in front of me, but there will be, about 500 square feet of additional floor area that will be added to the third floor.
No. So the ordinance permits no more than 75% of the area of the third floor to be 7 feet or higher. So you're saying that exceeds that?
More than 75 feet of the third floor?
75%.
75%. Yes, it will exceed that.
So you need a variance for that then?
Because the entire functional part, this is the lower floor, this is the second floor. So this is the third floor.
All right, so let me rephrase that. What is the area of the second floor? Total area of the second floor.
Let's not let him go on this either.
I suspect that the total area of the third floor is less than 75% of the area of the second floor.
It looks like it's about 50% of it, based on the visual.
Yes, that's what I gathered too. I just want to get that on the record.
Yeah, so it's less than 75%. It's about 50%.
If it's less than 75%, there's nothing.
Yeah, it's less.
All right.
The third floor is a lot less than half of the footprint, the building footprint, as we can see. So it's only a small portion of the building footprint that is shown.
We're going to have these numbers. We're going to have these numbers. The number of the area of the second square, the area of the second square footage, the square footage of the second floor, and the square footage of the third floor, before tonight is over.
Okay. Let me see if I can get those numbers.
If it would be the pleasure of the board, actually, can have Ms. Morrissey do her planning testimony while Mr. Lazaropoulos just does that calculation so we can get
it on the
record.
I figured that might happen.
That'd be all right?
That was a smart move.
We try.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I'm shorter than they are, so excuse me for a second. Good evening. So we're requesting a variance for the location of the third floor walls, as per your planner's report. And essentially, because we have a flat roof on the third floor, we have to have those building walls set back 5 feet from the edge of the building. And we're proposing to match the existing building lines that are on this property. In the right side yard, for the east side, we have 4.7 feet at the closest point to the street, and it goes back to 5 feet. It's a little skewed on that side of the building. And then on the left side, we have 5.1 feet for the setback, and to the rear yard, you have a 10-foot setback. The building itself meets the required setbacks in the rear, except for the third floor pushback. This area, as proposed on this plan, is something that is done to improve an older home. Instead of a demo rebuild, the applicant has taken the time in the past two applications to rehab and upgrade a 30-year-old home and work with the existing structure that was on the property. In doing so, the third floor bedrooms were small and didn't have enough space with bathrooms and floor area, so the proposal here was to raise that ceiling height to give them some more room. Because this structure is located in a fashion that it's actually set back further than the surrounding structures, it creates a minimal impact to the surrounding area. The overall updates to this are only apparent in the rear of the property. They're not going to change the environment along the streetscape, along Newport Avenue, which where the applicant has already upgraded the house. It has the pitched roofs in the front, so you won't know that the flat roof is in the back because of the way the building is designed and currently exists. Under the municipal land use law, this type of variance would be considered a C2 variance in that it promotes purposes of zoning and that the benefits from granting the application substantially outweigh the detriments. There are some factors that go along with this application that relate to the existing structure and trying to rehab a 30-year-old home and bringing it up to more modern standards, which would go towards a C1 criteria, but this is more so a C2 criteria variance. In this instance, it's my professional opinion that the proposed variances, as we have them requested, advance two purposes of zoning. They allow us to provide adequate light, air, and open space, and they encourage a promotion of a desired visual environment through creative development techniques and good civic design and arrangement. Your ordinance would allow a third-story sloped roof up to 35 feet. We are a 50-foot-wide lot. We are proposing to keep this as a flat roof in the rear so we can eliminate some of those roof pitches so you have usable space. Think back to the older homes and the pitch of the roof and how you really can't move around in those areas, and providing adequate bathroom space and access and ingress and egress. He's using that plan to create calculations. There is currently an encroachment back to the rear property line, and we're just bringing that out to the edge. When we do so, because we're not going past that 10-foot setback line, we're not encroaching and invading any of the light and open space of the surrounding properties. In fact, if you look at the aerial exhibit, you can see how this building is actually set back further than many of the other buildings in the area. So this addition on the third floor isn't going to substantially impact the surrounding area. It allows us to continue that desired visual environment through creative development techniques and good civic design and arrangement, because we're able to maintain what looks like a peaked roof in the front, so this is only visible to the rear of the property. I will note, when we look at the negative criteria, is there a substantial impairment of your zoning ordinance or zone plan, or a substantial detriment to the public good? When reviewing your master plan, one of your goals and objectives is to encourage the rehabilitation and our replacement of aging housing with modern construction, and that's pretty much what has occurred over the past few years with this property, upgrading a facelift, providing additional amenities that are similar to what new housing would have, but maintaining that existing structure and keeping those setbacks that are greater than the surrounding area. It is my professional opinion that this application, when you look at it as a whole and the overall benefits from the proposed development, advance those purposes of zoning without any substantial impairment of your zoning ordinance or zone plan, and without any substantial detriment to the public good, given the smaller footprint of this property compared to the other properties, and the size of the building with its setbacks. It allows for a creative use of this property without having to do a full tear-down rebuild to provide that updated and modern space that you want to have on a shore community house. I will note also, if you look at the planner's report, we do have, we're not increasing the building coverage in any way. We're staying within the confines of the existing building envelope. And the lot coverage is not changing by virtue of this application. Our lot coverage is actually proposed at 71%, where 75% is existing. So this site, while the building coverage is a little bit higher because of the open decks and not changing from this, is really not fully developed in accordance with the lot coverage requirements would allow for. And for that reason, I believe it also goes towards the negative criteria in making an appropriate use of this property and a better zoning alternative for the application before you this evening. And I hope I did that in enough time for him to do the calculation. Or I'll keep talking.
I'd like to offer a visual. This is the existing, what we call northern elevation. This part of the building is the third floor. So you can see the third floor goes straight up. So what we're proposing is shown here, but basically, is to raise these walls and then come across. So this part of the third floor exists at the 10-foot setback. So now this part is proposed. The existing first floor is approximately 1,600 square feet. Second floor is 1,800, because part of it is over the garage. And the new third floor is approximately 820 feet.
That's more than adequate.
So that is less than 75%, so therefore there's no variance required.
That's correct.
Okay. Thank you very much for calculating that.
All right. Unless there are any other questions, that would conclude our presentation.
I have one other question. If we add it up, we have the total the habitable square footage of the building. You're saying that you know how many square foot you're actually adding to the building, or you're working within?
The actual living space that we're adding is approximately 400 square feet.
That's on all the floors?
No, on the third floor.
On the third floor.
The proposed work is only on the third floor.
I thought you were doing some work on the second floor as far as bedrooms went.
No, the deck has been approved.
Okay.
Everything is there.
All right. So the only work you're doing is on the third floor.
Just raising the walls.
So you're looking at 420 square feet, correct?
Yes.
So that's basically half of that floor, which is so that's the case. So
we're basically doubling the living area of the third floor.
16. Okay.
By taking this wall.
Fine. Are you complete with what you want to give at this time?
Yes.
Do the board members have any questions of the applicant?
Your report refers to three spaces. Where are the three spaces off street parking?
There's two spaces in front of the garage? The parking spaces you have.
The garage,
there's one in front of the garage, and then when we got the approvals for the second floor deck, there was a deck on the first floor that we removed, and we put a parking spot there because there's no on-street parking, so the board deemed that it was better that we get a spot actually on there. So there's one off each side of the front door.
Garage. Pardon me, we're going to have you sworn.
Oh, sorry.
Just state your name and address for the record. I'll get you sworn in.
Christos Kolovos, 103 South, Newport.
And you swear affirm the testimony you're going to give tonight will be the truth?
I do.
And everything you just said was the truth?
It was.
Okay, thanks.
All right, any other questions? If not, I'd like to open up to the public. Is there anyone in the public that wishes to make comment on this application? Hearing no requests or seeing no one requesting, the public portion of this application is now closed. Now, do you have anything further you wish to add? I have one other question in here. There is since the roof is a flat roof, is there any type of deck or scenic area being used, our habitable area being put on top of that roof?
No.
Okay. Well, we're not approving any either.
Understood.
So it's not part of your application. So that is the case.
I have one further question on that to segue onto that. Is the drainage from that roof, how are you draining that roof?
We're maintaining the same pattern. Right now, the downspouts from the slope roof. The downspouts from the sloping roof are coming on the sides. The flat area, the roof area is increasing. If anything, from the engineering point of view, we have a higher time of concentration because the slope is not very steep. So theoretically, the stormwater will decrease in terms of rate. But the entire roof area is the same.
Roof area does not change.
Just want some assurances that any runoff will be directed towards the street, not onto the neighbor's properties.
It is, as it is today, it's directed towards the street.
Perfect.
Now, are you piping that stormwater runoff to the street, or is it being graded, is the lot graded so that with the water goes to the street?
To my understanding, the downspouts are pointing towards the street. I'm not aware of any problems or complaints from the neighbors, and I'm not aware of any problems with funding or anything. Yeah.
We would kindly ask is if there's a buildup of stormwater that you pipe from the rain leaders toward the street as well to manage that water so it does not interfere with the adjoining owners and the rear owners.
Sure.
Because sometimes this area is just flat, and that would be your responsibility to cure that.
We agree.
Okay. Board members, any other questions? Anything further? If not, you are now complete, and you have you read, agree with Mr. McLaren's report?
We have.
Okay.
We agree with his comments, and we can comply with any of his recommendations.
And you are complete?
Yes, sir.
Okay, thank you. Then it's time we're going to go right to a resolution, and we're going to go to a vote and a resolution. Our solicitor.
Including the verification on the height, correct? You're all right with it?
Yes.
You're all right with getting rid of that variance? You okay with that?
Removing the variance?
Yes.
Yes, we're okay with that.
Okay.
All right, so someone needs to make a motion and a second, followed by a roll call vote to C variance application. The C variances are the following. There's a side yard setback on the right side of 4.7 feet, 5 feet's required. And then the other three variances deal with the wall setback for the third floor. So 0 feet on the right, left, and the rear, and 5 feet's required. So those are those three variances. The conditions on those, just the standard conditions.
Yes.
Anything in Mr. McLaren's report? Any representations made by the applicant during the course of the hearing, subject to any outside approvals, and unless
and all prior conditions from the previous
all conditions and any prior approvals will carry forward.
Right, from the previous approvals.
Yep.
Okay.
So we need that motion and a second.
We need a motion and a second, please.
I'll make the motion.
Have a second?
Second.
We have a roll call vote, and please state your reasons.
Commissioner Crable?
I'll vote to support the application. I think the biggest negative is the mass and the visual appearance that addition is going to place on the block, but it's mitigated by the lack that you're keeping under the lot coverage. You have a large rear setback, and then balancing that with improving the existing structure. It's a difficult design problem, but I think it's worth the effort to add to the value of the home. That's all we guess.
Tom Helpman?
I think the design works very well. Your neighbors seem to have a problem with it, so
Jay Cook?
I'm going to vote in favor of the application. They seem to have made a concerted effort to deal with the master plan, dealing with some of the maintaining light and air, but also maintaining the visual environment. And also in here is noting that the expansion of the building is about 10% of the floor area, which is somewhat de minimis comparably to what you see with other structures. Also, the rear yard is basically double what most of the adjoining properties are. They're about 5 feet. This is about 10, and even some of the other adjoining properties have parcels even closer. So so they've maintained that buffer as well, giving, again, more air and more light. And they have not increased at all the floor area. So the obsolescence of the building with the front and the back is being alleviated, and they're bringing this building up to some current standards as well with that. The parking is there. The other requirements they have met, so they're meeting the FEMA requirements as well. So therefore, I vote yes.
Harbin Zabihatch?
I also vote yes. I believe that expanding the usefulness of the third floor to make it more livable, which is what we want to have everyone enjoy, the living space, make the variances warranted. So therefore, I understand why it needed to be made. I agree with it. I also like to comment, it's nice to see a professional using a pointer.
No laser.
Dan Smith?
I'm also going to vote in favor of the application. I thought the presentation was sufficient to show the need for this. It's tough with those sloped roofs. No one likes to see a flat roof, but in this case, I think it's mitigated by the design, and you meet the other requirements with the parking. It's a small area. The setback is much better in the rear than the rest of the properties, and you've satisfied your neighbors. So I see no negative aspects to it, and I vote yes.
Peter Tacco?
I was also concerned about the mass of that third floor, but it apparently only affects the neighbor to the north. No testimony from that neighbor. With that being said, I think that it qualifies, and I will vote in favor of it.
Lorraine Salata?
I, too, was concerned about it being a massive structure. And actually taking away from the detail of the building as it exists, but given the fact that it really only impacts the back and the sides of the house, there is still some interest in the front of the house, and understanding the usefulness that it will now have, I'll vote in favor of it.
You are complete.
Yes, you are complete. Successful.
Thank you very much.
Mr. Colavos, congratulations. Thank you. Next application is that at 103 South Victoria Avenue.
I just want to ask, will the board allow us to address the issue of a request to postpone? I'm here, and there are others here in regard to this Victoria Avenue petition.
So why don't you come up? We'll get you sworn in. Sure. We're gonna have the attorney just introduce himself and his applicant. Then we'll get you sworn in. You can make your postponement request, and I can address the board.
Good evening, Mr. Chairman. Michael Learn, the law firm of Callahan Thompson, appearing on behalf of the applicant, Ronald Plotka and ARCR Home Builders, who is a contract purchaser of 108 South Windsor Avenue. I don't want to go, if you want to hear that, or I can do a brief introduction, whatever your pleasure is.
No, I'll let you respond. Let's hear what this gentleman has to say.
Yes. And sir, please come forward.
Yes, sir. So my name is James Bernier. I live with my wife Janice, who is here at 104 South Victoria.
Okay. Let me get. Do you swear the testimony you're about to give will be the truth?
I do so swear.
And your last name again?
V-E-R-N-I-L-E, Bernier.
Okay.
My wife Janice is with me. David Kramer and his wife Cheryl is present. And with respect to this request to postpone, there was a written request by myself and by Paul McLean, who's 106. He was unable to be here, and he asked me to advance his request for postponement as well. If you would permit me to address it very briefly, I won't take up a lot of time of the board.
Go ahead. Not why you want an adjournment you're going to address, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Go ahead.
The reason is this. From the perspective of the substantive issues here, those issues arise out of the application was made 10 years ago. At that time, the applicant, Dr. Plotka,
stated that he was going to commence building after Labor Day and live on the top floor of the resulting building. But 10 years passed and there was no building. None of us, as far as I am aware, no one has actually received service. I understand that there might have been service by publication, but in reality, we all became aware of this pending matter approximately this past Thursday, and it did not permit us enough time to get together and try to understand the nature of the relief that Mr. Callahan's requesting for the doctor, because we're not at all sure that we're going to be opposed to it, but we just are not in a position, as I say, to understand it. We're not professionals in architecture or related fields, and it could be that the way we see it, there are some of the residents on the block who have some skills in that area, and it's also possible that just by exchanging information with Mr. Callahan, we can glean enough to know whether or not there's a basis for a dispute. The reality is that 10 years passed, and we just don't think that a couple of weeks to allow us to make good faith inquiry in any way abuses the applicant. On the contrary, we feel respectfully be an injustice if we didn't have a chance to make further inquiry, especially because there are six new houses that have just been erected on the corner that are, and only one of them has taken title, although based on my totally amateur eyeball look of it, they all seem to have just been finished, and the word we understand is that settlement in all six is going to take place, or the five that haven't settled are going to be changing title in the next couple of weeks. And that's a very important body of owners.
Sir, I'm going to put you, let's get back to why you want a postponement for this application.
That's why.
That's all I want you, that's what you want
I want
to
a postponement
about.
Because I would like to be able to examine the plans with the help of a professional. Mr. McLean's an engineer. He advised me that and it could be that he's mistaken, but his understanding of the plans as he examined them on Friday, he drove down just so he could try to get here to see them before the offices closed.
Okay.
He said that he disputed the representation made to me by Mr. Callahan that the requested relief is identical to that which was granted by the board back in 2011.
Exactly.
And it could be that he's mistaken, but I would like the opportunity. He disputed the contention that there was no change in the setback, that there was no change in the height, and these are very important to us.
Pardon me, sir. I have some questions I have to ask. If you could hold on, Mr. Meek, go ahead, Mr. Lern.
As the board imagines, I approach such requests with kid gloves because you never want to alienate one of the board or two potential members. One, I will assure you that the relief that we're seeking tonight is exactly what was in the notice, and I believe you were at the hearing in 2011.
I was.
And you and Mr. McLean.
Yes.
And so rest assured that The only change, what was approved vis-à-vis the site plan, the setback, the variance relief, everything's identical, height of the structure, everything, nothing was right. In fact, the only change in my architect, right, here, Mr. Dickerson, is tonight. To comply with FEMA, okay, upgrade the building code.
All right, well, then it's a question.
Certain things would have to be done on protection within the interior of the structure to comply with certain thrust. And if you want to sit down, that's fine with me, but I leave it at the discretion of the board. If I don't want to force the issue, you have the prior decision of resolution, and this is a lot of, in fact, signed resolutions that I'm going to introduce into evidence, and Mr. Smith was on board that at that point. There has been a lapse of time, you are correct about that, and there are statutory protections for site plan and things like that, which have expired. Now, I understand the period of time in this instance, 11 years, is an unusual period of time, but it is not the lapse of time in and of itself which is the critical factor of any of this. It's the circumstances of the prior approval and what, if anything, has changed within the interim of time. So,
Mr. Orr?
I'm not going to say yes, but I'm not, whatever the board's discretion.
Do you have green, did you send out green cards?
Pardon?
Did you send out
yes, to mail?
Was everybody notified?
I mailed a certified mail myself.
Okay. Was everybody notified? Did you get receipts? Did you get return receipts back?
I don't know if we did, I don't think that's necessary. No. I know it's
complete. No, but I'm Mr. Kramer, I live across the street. I know for a fact, at 9 units...
Come on.
Wait. At a 7
Mr. Kramer,
you got to be sworn. You got to
be sworn to get you sworn in.
Kramer.
We have an address for your immediate need,
yeah? Right. I have not received any correspondence at either this address here in town or at my home in Pennsylvania in Media.
It was in fact mailed on October 12th, and I have this, Mr. Madden, yep, probably has the sheets in there. And with respect to the condo, so that you're aware, individual unit owners of the condo do not have to get notice, only the condo association.
And we did not notice.
And what condo is that?
107 South Victoria Avenue. That was on the Barry line, and he didn't receive notice.
Keep in mind, we have to go on the list. You know what, Mr. Cook, may I make a suggestion?
Yes.
Why don't you adjourn us very briefly? I'll meet with these, and we'll go over the list, so we're not taking up your time.
Well, there's one other matter in there. The site plan was never reviewed for the job. And the site plan, I believe, is going to be, the board will be viewing the site plan for the first time for the job. Is that correct?
Well, nothing would change in the site plan.
Well, we didn't review it. We didn't approve it.
It was previously approved by the board back in 2011. There
were
two resolutions. In fact, I'll introduce those as part of the draft application package.
Right.
And it's whether you continue this before a substantive testimony is given or not.
Right.
Certainly, I have a discretion, but I took the liberty of marking A1 and A2. A1 is the resolution, decision resolution, Z-12 of 2011, wherein the zoning board at that time determined that no use or height variance was required, and that the proposed height of the structure, this being 47 feet, was in compliance with the zoning regulations, and the R9 regulations would stand. And then the second resolution, Z-13 of 2011, is the site plan approval itself, and we're not requesting any changes of the
Is the site plan part of your package tonight?
Yeah, it was part of your zoning package.
It is part of the package tonight.
It should be part of your zoning package.
Mr. Chairman, we never received any site plan. We just got architectural plans. There's no dimensions to any property line. There's no property lines. There's no survey. So we couldn't compare the site
plan. I know Mr. Fangio had to tweak the site plans, but they were ministerial type tweaks.
I think it's appropriate that we postpone this. Well, may I make a suggestion, and I'll to the board, and that we get everything back, the full package together, and postpone this meeting for one.
Let me discuss it with the client.
Let you discuss it with your client.
Give me about a minute and a half.
Yes.
I don't believe, I didn't see anything from Ponzio's office, so that helps.
You know, we want a complete package here, so.
You know, I hasten to add that we have absolute respect and confidence in the integrity of Mr. Callahan, and I didn't mean to imply anything contrary.
Nobody's withdrawing anything. We're doing administrative things that have to be done to hear this application correctly. And thank you for bringing things up as well.
So while we're doing that, I have a question there in terms of the power of the pitch.
Please.
What is the limit where an approval, how long can approval be valid, and what is there an expiration on it?
In theory, if nothing changes.
Right.
Good.
I want the board to be comfortable with what we've done. And basically, we're asking for a reaffirmation of your prior approvals granted by the board, the zoning board. But I don't want you to be, if you think you're flying blind, I don't want that either, because that's never good. And Mr. Cook and I used to sit where Mr. Manners sat, so it's, you don't have to draw a diagram for me. If you want the site plans to make sure to compare, to see what would be approved, I'll have Mr. Ponzio tweet them so that the prior approvals, there was conditions in that prior approval, so they're submitted for that, and then if you're more comfortable with it, that would be an orderly way to proceed. We can do that, and in the meantime, we can meet with the two. I feel maybe on the same page, and I want you to be on the same page.
Entirely possible. I would just like to get light a fire under the other owners on the block and ask them to let's get in touch with Mr. Callahan and see if we are on the same page or if.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you,
when
sir.
When you say light a fire, I don't want to see you guys with a pitchfork.
let's move this on. So if you could carry this on, we'll get you scheduled for another meeting. So we can have the whole package clean together.
So you want a site plan and the
yes, right.
Site plan. Does everybody have a copy of the prior decision of resolutions?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. When is your next meeting?
Well, we have to look at when we have what we have. Jim, you don't have the schedule. Do you know the schedule?
Oh, no.
We'd have to get back to you. Carmella's out right now as you recover.
Well, you don't want to renotice.
We'll take care of it tomorrow.
Well, no, we got to make an announcement tonight.
Tonight.
But, I mean, our next meeting is November 9th. I don't know what we have scheduled, but I don't want to put any pressure on anyone, but what's one more is kind of my take.
Put it on that given date.
What's,
if something happens,
yeah. We're going to put it on November 9th. Unless there's no room, then we'll move that to that.
Yeah.
But it'll be on November 9th.
And if something happens, you can always
make another one.
Right.
Yes.
Exactly.
All right.
November 9th.
Exactly, sir.
So November 9th, 6:30, this room, no formal, no need to renotice or republish.
Right.
Mr. Lerner, just get your stuff. Anything you're going to supplement, just get it in.
Right.
Anything you're going to supplement, just get in ASAP, and then you'll call.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank
you very much for voicing your opinion as well. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Okay. Yes, sir.
Can I say something about the units four on Soled and two on Victoria? I was the person who purchased one of them.
We're not hearing that tonight.
Yeah. I mean, there's a general public comment.
There's a general public comment. You can do it at that time.
Okay. But I do not need to make a notice about this. Found out about it.
Well, it's going to be put off to November 9th. If the city, the applicant requests a list of all property owners, whatever the city provides, that's what the applicant relies on. So you might want to speak with the attorney and see if you're on the list, and if you're not, why you're not. Okay? Yep.
All right. All right. Next application Is that a vendor plaza?
Mr. Chairman?
Yes. Okay. Okay.
I think we opened one set. We'll take up the whole one. Okay, okay.
Pickleball. I heard some rumors.
This is more money.
Oh, yeah.
Junk.
Yeah, right.
Your place?
Price is sharp, okay.
What's that?
Price is sharp.
Oh, to give...
Yeah, that's right. This is gonna be a throw rock.
Copy this one.
Yes.
Could someone close the door, please? Mark?
Thank you.
Mr. McAndrew?
Good evening.
Good evening. What we're going to do is we'll have everybody sworn first, and then we're not going to go through a preamble this evening. You're going to go right in. The report will be read into the record during after your period of time has gone over. At that point, you'll take your throughout everything through. We'll go to a public portion after you're complete. Board members will also be able to have discussion if there's any questions. They may interrupt while you're doing it, but they'll wait oftentimes till you're complete again and have questions.
Sounds good.
Then we'll go that way. And that'll be the conduct of the hearing.
For the record, I'm Pat McAndrew. I'm an attorney representing the applicant. We're going to have three witnesses. Dan Ponzio, our licensed surveyor. Matt Duran, our professional engineer. And Mark Greco, who is the managing member of Ventnor Plaza.
Okay. Just each state your name and address for the record. I'll swear the three in together. Hey, Matt.
Dan Ponzio, 3910 South Boulevard, Atlantic City, New Jersey.
Mark Greco, 111 South Suffolk Avenue, Ventnor.
Matt Thor, 840 North Main Street, Park.
And can you each please raise your right hand? Each swear affirm the testimony you're about to give tonight would be the truth. All right, thank you.
Let the record reflect that the credentials for Mr. Doran and Mr. Ponzio are acceptable. They've appeared before this board many times, and that's the case.
Thank you.
Continue. It's yours.
Oh, do you want to go through the professional report first, or... Testimony first.
No, you run your the way you want to run.
Okay, thank you. I'm going to turn it over to Mr. Ponzio to present the site plan. It's basically a redevelopment plan for Ventnor Plaza. He's prepared the plans along with Mr. Duran, so I'll let him introduce it.
Okay. Hey, much needed and long awaited revitalizations.
Can you pick it up on
the start of the northeast end, work where it's south, it's a multifaceted.
Pardon me one second. If you could bring your microphone closer, or you get closer to the microphone, so we can take a
moment. Typically, my voice is loud enough.
Pretend
anyway.
you're playing in your band.
Okay, guys. As I said, we'll start on the northeast side of this property. Right here is a 100-foot wide right-of-way that is currently completely covered with asphalt and unimproved, no sidewalks, no curbing, nothing of that nature. Through meeting with Mr. McLeod and Mr. Stinson, we designed an entranceway here, 40-foot wide entranceway, two turning lanes, a right-hand turn, a left-hand turn, and an entrance lane, proper signage, proper site triangles, everything. We also designed an area back in here for future development for the city of Ventnor. It's proposed to have a storage facility back here. They have an idea to do this. We left the area alone for that single purpose. So that's the one improvement on this end. Moving to the southwest, the first one, the first pad unit there is a Burger King, which is approved, which is rather signed up. They're ready to go. And we have designed a pad site accordingly. There's going to be some revisions to the gradient to match FEMA's requirements in this area. It's a unique flood zone that we've discovered. So that'll have to be, there'll be some grading redesign in that area. The second pad site here, this is going to be a Starbucks. Same situation. Starbucks came to us with their basic site plan, and we designed our layout accordingly to match the existing property. These two properties work very well, very nice vehicular circulation was adopted. We opened up the entranceway here so we can have a, through the entrance, the new entrance on the unnamed roadway, have an access straight through and straight out. You want to go to Burger King, you come in here, you wrap through, you get your sandwich, you can exit either this way or that way. Same thing with Starbucks. You come in here, you wrap through, you get your coffee, you park in here, whatever you want to do, you can exit right out the entranceway. Keeps the vehicular traffic out of the area for Acme and the other associated stores in this parcel. And then here on the southerly end, there's a third pad site. Now, we don't have a client for that as of yet, but we want to get that pad site approved. In the future, any future construction, of course, we'll have to come back in and have just a site plan for that specific area when and if it does occur. So that's the three pad sites. In addition to the pad sites, this site, the beautification along the roadway is phenomenal, what Mr. Greco is proposing here. We're going to widen the entire planter along Wellington Avenue to a minimum width of 10 feet and up to 15 feet wide. In those areas, and there's some areas that planter 2 feet wide now. So between 10 and 15 feet, there's a D-cell and XL lanes in here. The curb line along Wellington steps in and out. That's why there's a varying width of that planter. But along that entire frontage, tremendous amount of planting. I don't know, in excess of 500 trees and shrubs and bushes. It's all on our planting schedule. These are all species that are accepted by Ventnor, and they're salt-resistant species. And we'll have underground irrigation. In addition to that, there's 10 like park-style lamps right around 15 feet high that will line the entire frontage of this parcel. In between each one of them, there'll be a large tree, a large white oak tree planted in between each one of them. Really going to be a beautiful facade. The improvements to that, it's going to be amazing. It's going to be a new face for the city of Ventnor. There's no question about that. You're going to walk in, you're going to drive into Wellington Avenue, and you're going to really see something. Like I said in the beginning, long overdue. So that's that improvement. And now, in addition to that, we're also proposing charging stations for electric vehicles. We have, is it 8 total or 10? 8 total charging stations along the parcel. There's some here, there's some here, and there's some here. And this will all service this, you know, the upcoming electric vehicle traffic that's going to be traveling in there. And in addition to that, regrading of the entire lot. You know, we all know there's a drainage issue out here. You have a storm, any kind of hard rains that holds water. My client's proposing from this side of the existing restaurant, vacant restaurant area, the entire site being regraded and re-asphalted. In addition to that, there'll be drainage added. There's a new inlet here, a new inlet here, another one here, and another one here to accompany all these grades. So all of this improvement will really bring this property up to the current times. Finally, at this end, we have Little Rock Avenue, completely unimproved. Dark street right now. There's a little portion in the front of here that's asphalted, but that's it. The intent is to improve the entire roadway, have access and exit both through this area. In addition to that, any deliveries can come right through the back of the property, deliver the material, wrap out this end, and right out this exit. Keep all the truck traffic out of the plaza area. These are the improvements that we're proposing on this parcel.
And is there an addition also to the restaurant building and two storage?
There is. We proposed, let me flip this around here. site plan. Propose a 25-foot wide addition to this restaurant area. The parcel is very large. However, end users buying that parcel and renting that parcel, typically it's either a little bit smaller than that or a little bit bigger than that, what they're looking for, and that's what we're looking for. Now, in the future, depending upon who rents it, that may be a fully enclosed area or maybe two open decks, depending upon who rents it. If it's a restaurant that happens to move in there, outside dining on that side with Atlantic City skyline views, beautiful. If it's any other type of facility, office facility, and they want to use and they need additional square footage, it'll be an enclosed area. But that is also proposed as part of this application.
That's the only addition to the building and the current existing.
Correct. And the 3,500-foot pad sites, that's the only square footage enclosed area that is proposed.
Okay. Everything else is basically site work, landscaping, lighting.
Just visual and aesthetic improvements to the parcel, correct.
Can you cover the signage of what's proposed?
Yes. I got it right here, actually. Okay, let's start on the front side. So the main sign for the entranceway. Here's the existing main sign. This is what's proposed. It's proposed to add a header on top of it, an LED here, an all stone facade. The existing structure is fine. Not attractive, but fine. So it'll be boxed out, and a stone facade will be wrapping it, and it'll be in keeping with the structure's appearance, the main structure's appearance, with the stone facade and the colors. And in addition, as I pointed out, an LED display board there. The LED display board's square footage area in relation to the sign is variance-free. There's no issue with that. The size of the sign requires a variance, which Mr. Dorn will address. We can go into the monument signs now. Proposed monument signs. It's a sheet S12 of your package there.
S12.
Yes. So the proposed signs. The sign face itself will be 6x5, and the sign, we reduced the height of the sign by a foot, so to keep with the ordinance. It was 7 initially. We reduced it to make it 6. So that's in keeping with the ordinance. The square footage of the sign is minutely over. That will trigger a variance for the square footage of that sign. There was also additional signage requested in Mr. McLaurin's review, and I've added that onto the plans. Most of his revisions that he requested are completed, and we're in keeping with all of them. We have no issue with any of them.
Could you repeat that again, please?
All the requests that were in your review, we have no issue with any of them. Everything's fine. We'll make changes to all of those. Not a problem.
Just to be clear on the record, the variance is for the size of the freestanding sign. So what's the variance for the monument
size? Square footage of the sign face only. Okay. We permitted one per unit. There's three signs proposed, one right in front of the third pad site, one right in front of Starbucks, one right in front of Burger King.
You didn't know,
and that's necessary to have three pad sites need to be identified out.
Yes, correct.
if the only thing I can add to that is each of the national franchises require these signs, and that's one of the reasons that we propose them.
And where are they being placed again? In the front there?
Yeah. Here's the Burger King's pads out here.
Right.
Right there, proposed monument sign.
So would that be in the planted area or on the building itself?
Partially in the planted area, partially in the parking area. The only one that is fully in the planting area is one in front of Starbucks. They're 1 foot 4 inches wide and 8 feet long and 6 feet tall. Just like a flat wall on the side or inside.
Pretty big.
And the stone face around those signs is going to match what we're doing on the pylon sign and what's on the front of the building, which we're also expanding. Currently, there is some stone face on the columns on the left-hand side of the shopping center, as you see, but we're now going to do a new facade on Acme, and we're going to match the stonework that's on the other side so that it goes all the way across the front now. And it currently goes on the front of Acme. They have a little bit of an effect on the columns, but it's every other column, and the opposite columns are just unfinished steel, and it looks horrible. So we're going to put a stone face across the entire front. I worked with Acme's engineers and architects, and Acme developed a new image that they want the front of the building to look, and I brought some pictures. Sits today, this is the existing Acme image, and their architects and engineers developed this, which brings in a lot of the color schemes that are on the rest of the shopping center, but it also incorporates the stone effects. It takes into account the beige colors, you know, from the other side. We're also going to, if I can maybe back up for a second, I have a lot of properties. I do this for a living, but I live here in Bedford. And this property means more to me because I shop here. My wife shops here. I recognize that this property has been neglected for years. And it needs so many things. And when the opportunity came to be able to do this, you know, it just meant a lot to me. So, you know, I started talking to Acme about extending their lease to make sure that they're not going anywhere. I've extended their lease and AutoZone's lease and Dollar Tree's lease, and we're aggressively leasing all this vacant space. The shopping center's been half empty for a lifetime. And as part of the improvements that I committed to do with Acme, the sidewalk is cracked. It's patched and pieced. It's just a mess. So I started out and I hired a contractor to replace the sidewalk in front of Acme, and then I wound up telling him to do the entire property because it just needs it. It's been bubblegum and duct tape for years. It's terrible. So a lot of the things that we're bringing in, we're bringing in new tenants, but we're not bringing in competing tenants. You know, I have a lot of different properties, and I don't have two of the same anything in any of the properties. You know, we're bringing in an adult daycare and a child care. We're trying to bring in different uses, and we're trying to make this property so that it's going to survive for years. You know, there's been a lot of stores that have come and gone, and it just needs a lot of attention. We also want to bring it into the today. We want to bring it up and modernize. So we're putting in the EV charging stations for cars. We're going to put solar panels on the entire roof of the shopping center. From the pylon sign in, I mean, it's horrible. It's really sad. You know, what we're proposing is ornamental lighting, trees, landscaping, bushes. There's hardly a blade of grass on this property.
I want to interject here because going back a number of years, when we actually on the zoning board then, we gave the approvals for the existing sign that's there, and it was supposed to have a planter at the bottom. Well, it had plants in it for maybe a year. But then also where you see all the stones that run along Wellington Avenue, there were all shrubs in there. The shrubs did not do well. And at some point, they ripped them out, and we got rocks and stones, which, you know, so my concern is, I love the fact that you're really looking to put an extensive landscaping package together. We need it, and I'm always the one on the board that promotes landscaping, so I'm totally on board with that. But I think that we need to look at how we can make that a little safer, even though they are going to be saltwater-resistant plants. They can get killed over there. So maybe if there's a slight elevation to the planter, I mean, I'll leave that up to the experts, but just know that plants have been tried out there. It wasn't too successful.
There's a couple ways to address
yeah.
that. Of course, with grading, mount that planting, mm-hmm. raise it up, and also have underground irrigation. So it's constantly getting inundated with fresh water.
Right.
You know, tidal water is down 4 or 5 feet.
Yeah.
3 feet. Yeah. It's constantly getting inundated with fresh water.
But like we have a lot of properties that come before the board, and you know we always want a landscaping package, sure. and some of them are in neighborhoods where you can't plant anything ground level. So what we as a board have done is we've had them build planters so they're elevated.
Right.
Now I'm not suggesting that you have high planters there. It may be something to offer some protection.
Certainly. Well, that's what the width of that planter is so wide.
Right.
We can get some green in there. And yeah. then the ground cover will be stowed, but there will be
the rains. Right. I think that we're suggesting a solution to the problem. You know, and we've elicited the problem. Now, you guys are the pros. So
I think the answer is having fresh water irrigation,
right.
because that's the salt water is what the problem is.
Yeah.
The salt water is killing.
But also elevation does help too.
Yeah.
And both of those help.
And
so
if
you're on the right track, and you guys will have to get it worked out in there.
Just in keeping with what Mark was saying here, the beautification is the key.
Yeah.
This property, you know, far cry from going to pack in and having dinner there. This place really needs a lot of work.
Right.
And I can tell you, experience with Mark and experience with his other parcels, he owns multiple properties of this nature. This will be a first-class operation. I'll tell you that much right now. If you look into any of his other parcels, you look into Mark's company, take a look at what he's done in some of the parcels in Williamstown area. They are, no question about it, beautiful, 100% beautiful, and maintained. He's a very proud man. That's certainly what we're talking about this landscaping and irrigation things. He won't let it go.
Okay.
He won't put it in for a year and then the tree dies and river mullet. That's not going to happen tomorrow. Guaranteed. So you got the right operator.
Okay.
Sure.
Very good to hear.
I have
this interjection. This is also a slightly different. I mean, I have properties in 4 different states, and I don't get to them all as often as I would like to, but I live a mile from here, and I shop here every day. This is important.
There's one of the topic that I like.
How high are you going to raise the parking lines?
See enough?
How high are you going to raise the parking lines?
Well, there's some areas up in here, like the finished floors of these will be about 2 foot 3 inches higher than the finished floor of the aqua. So we have a lot of grading in there. We're talking major quantity material. The finished floor, the design finished floor will be about a foot. 1 foot, 1 inch higher than the elevation of the water came 170 on all 3 of those bad sites.
Wow.
Yeah, major, lot of material.
Can I interject one thing in here? We've had some of the new development that come in, and there's dry flood proofing that I think you may be familiar with for these commercial properties. And that's something I would suggest you look at and how that impacts your flood insurance as well as the operation of the center. But it's a worthwhile procedure to look at least. And the other thing that is going on, and it's a problem that's been nagging the city, and it's not something that I think you can totally solve within the center, but you can go through the trash problem. It's a shopping center. We have buildup of trash, and it winds up across the street, and it winds up everywhere. Some of it is from the shopping center, and a lot of it is not. You know, let's just call it the way it is. And you can't say stick everybody with all the problems, but making you aware that there is a problem there. And in your thought process, if you could see how you can perhaps maybe make a dent in it.
Yeah, I recognize that.
Yeah.
I,
I was in there today.
Right.
It's been an ongoing problem forever.
Yeah.
There is a sweeper service that we inherited from the prior owner. They sweep every day. I don't think they do a very good job. I definitely need to look into that. I hired someone as soon as I took over, and he works 5 hours a day, 5 days a week, and he goes around and he cleans, he picks up, he empties the trash cans and all those type of things. And he's also eyes and ears. You know, if he sees something and I'm not there for whatever reason, he can reach my office and we can get someone to respond. We're going to pay a lot more attention. The company that I bought from, and I know they've been in front of this board before, they have a small office in New Jersey, but they're based in Colorado. Mm-hmm. I spoke to their leasing agent, and I said, why is this? I have nearly almost 100% occupancy in my properties, and this property's got 90,000 square feet of vacancy. And I asked their leasing agent, how do you get tenants? And he lives in Arizona. He said to me, well, I fly up every quarter and I check things out. I have no idea what that means, but this is what we got for it. So,
I only
own the place since June 28th, and I've got the majority of this space leased. And the prior owner came in to this board and asked for approval to put self-storage.
Right.
I think that's the death of the center. That's someone's going to bring in their things, they're going to put it in a storage unit, and they're not going to come back for a year. That doesn't help the town, it doesn't help the center, it doesn't help the tenants. By bringing in other uses that are going to attract customers to the property, it makes the property viable.
That's why the idea of the electric charging, that gives you trips coming in to the center itself. But there's other things involved. And again, I'm putting a menu kind of in your ear, but not for the approvals this evening. Everybody knows that there's parkings are an issue in the city. Mm-hmm. And somehow there's been, Vendor Plaza has figured that there's been certain suggestions about using part of it for different specialty ideas to assist our parking. If you do come up with those, please, think about that as well. I mean, the property is there. How can we use it to the city's best advantage? And if anybody can do it, you can do it.
It's kind of funny. I've lived here for many, many years. I've had a home in the city for 25 plus years. And when my neighbors started hearing that I was getting involved in this, I'm getting suggestions from everywhere. Everyone has a wish list.
Right. So. But there's some of this. And going back to where you have Little Rock Avenue, you're paving that all the way back to Fulton Avenue. You short of Fulton Avenue.
Also, there's also a conversation with Mr. McLaurin and Mr. Stinson. Public station's back here.
Okay.
And there is also an idea to do an improvement on that. And they're going to need some underground storage for a tank area. So we slid everything back around 55 feet. We were back 25 feet. So the additional 50 feet back to create a big open area back here.
Right.
For that improvement.
We also added...
Can I jump in?
Please.
Yeah. I think I might have some valuable information to assist the board in understanding what's going on. We did meet with the applicant several times. And why they're here, and why we're hearing them, is the redevelopment zone allows them to do what they're doing. This is the only area in town where monument signs are permitted. There are certain design standards. They're seeking some minor relief from the design standards of the signs. We did meet the Little Rock Avenue, and I've been advocating all along to utilize that signal as a four-way intersection. They're doing it. Dan is correct. We asked them to push Little Rock Avenue a little bit further up because we have a pumping station that we want to expand at that area for stormwater pump station. So that'll help the city by accessing it and also create truck traffic to go around the back of the building. And Dan, please point out that the going from the middle of Little Rock Avenue, like halfway down, is just two-way traffic. The rest of it is just entryway into the back of the site.
This is one-way traffic from this mid part to the rear of the parcel. It's only one-way traffic into the property. So trucks, whatever, will come in here, wrap right behind the back. nobody's coming out of here.
Right.
Exit out this way.
That eliminates competition for that use of that road. It eliminates potential impacts of, you know, trucks blocking that entrance. Going back to the main sign, as I said, they're basically recladding the existing sign. And a landscape issue, we went ad nauseum with the landscape issue. Widening that 2-foot buffer to 10 feet is a fantastic deal. And Mr. Greco is going to really, you know, enhance that whole viewing corridor along Wellington Avenue. And talking with Matt Duran earlier today about elevating those sites, it is a unique situation where they are in a special flood zone there. They're going to raise those pad sites as much as they can. And they're going to be fully compliant with dry flood proofing, with the construction office FEMA requirements, freeboard requirements. So that's a non-issue. They're going to deal with that. By elevating that parking lot on that side, they're really going to eliminate a lot of the nuisance flooding caused by tidal flooding. And by adding a drainage system, they're going to enhance the rainwater issues with the runoff. And also, they're adding the second floor on the right side, you know, facing the back of the building. The redevelopment plan allows for second floor additions for retail at this location. It allows for 3 pad sites, allows each pad site to have a monument sign. The county is going to have some input on this too in regard to how to utilizing the signals on Wellington Avenue. They own those signals. I believe they've addressed a lot of those concerns already, but you know, Atlantic County will have some say in that. On the right side, Mr. Greco and Dan are correct. The city wants to eventually, they need a presence in Ventnor Heights to store material where they can't get over the bridge. So that location is going to be utilized at some point in time, not today, not tomorrow, but at some point in time, and they're going to help us access that by pretty much leaving it alone and allowing the traffic to skate around there. I think the drive aisle going just on this side or the bottom side of the pad sites is key, because it's going to keep that through traffic away from the sidewalk area on the building front. So I guess what I wanted to say is we did meet and we did discuss a lot of this, and the resolution that was passed in resolution number 41-2019 for this redevelopment plan, it was earmarked for this.
Exactly.
And they're following.
We literally designed this around the redevelopment plan.
Right. Correct.
Really
we can see that. We can see that.
Yeah. So I just wanted to, you know, let the board know that they're not just coming in here and throwing us stuff. Right. This was all agreed upon.
Now, I do have one other question. On the Little Rock Avenue extension in there, you're going to have some additional vehicular traffic coming down there. For the neighbors that are live in the back, is there some kind of buffering that can be put in there?
There is. There's a row of arborvitae on the entire southern
line, all the way from Wellington Avenue all the way to the back. Could you show where the buffer would be?
And, starting here. Run all the way here.
It's all the way down to the back, all the way to the entire block.
All the way to the pumping station.
Yes.
It'll exclude the one house that used access in the back for a driveway. There is one driveway pad back there, I believe, right, near Little Rock or okay. Wellington Avenue.
So the neighbors will get some relief from the noise.
Yes.
Okay. That's a major. That's always a major.
Initially, the planner was along the property line.
Right.
But through Roger and Ed, we slipped it and moved it to the far line, the far side of Little Rock, to create that buffer.
Thank you for doing that. Board members, if any questions, comments?
Sounds fantastic.
Mr.
I'll tell you one thing. When you see it done, you're going to be impressed. I can tell you that much. I can't say it enough. I know that's
bad. When do you hope to start?
Tomorrow. Okay. He's ready to go.
When do you hope to finish?
Well, I'll tell you, he wants to have most of this improvement done by the summer coming up. This is not a game. He's ready to move
forward. That's
Mr. Very Bain.
So I just have one question.
Go ahead, please.
The list in this improvement plan, and this is more to help, I think. Following approved commercial uses do not require formal site plans. Some of the suggestions on this list, 3 of them, video sales, records, and camera shop can be taken care of with an iPhone today. So should that list be upgraded with Mr. Greco's console or just in the board's console to improve it, to make him more successful? Are there other uses? Or is that not hampering him from finding other uses, creative uses for rentals?
I'll tell you one assistance that I would love if you could help me with. The restaurant unit, I've brought in countless, I can't even tell you how many restaurant operators, nationals and locals. And first question I get from everybody is, do you have a liquor license? And there are no liquor licenses available. And that first question makes a lot of meetings really short. I'm talking to an operator right now who is, he's a chef here in Atlantic City at one of the casinos. He's very interested in going into the restaurant, and he actually is interested in taking the entire building, both floors. He wants to put a restaurant on the main floor, and then he wants to do weddings, graduations, all types of events on the second floor. And the building is equipped. We've got steps off the kitchen, and we have steps for the customers. We also have an elevator in the building. It could be suited very well for that. But again, even he asked if we can get a liquor license. I don't know if there's any miracle that could make that happen.
It's a governing, you guys.
It's a governing body. It's limited by population. Unless we can find 10,000 more people to enter the city, they're all under private ownership now, which wouldn't be the place to discuss that. Okay. So they've been issued, but I just think there are more creative uses that could help that one, maybe the other site.
I have looked at other uses for that building, including medical, and I've reached out to one of the large regional medical companies, and they have sent some people out to come look at it. Yeah. So I'm looking at other uses. I'm looking at every use for every space on this property.
I guess what I'm saying is you're being a good neighbor. You had us at helping the city with the pump station and the storage that we've been trying to circle around for a while. And we'd like to, I think, reciprocate that and say, is there other uses opening the door for the conversation?
Yeah, sure.
So to improve that.
If he comes up with something, someone approaches him, or he finds somebody, he goes in front of the board.
Tim, aren't there other types of licenses or other types of agreements for alcohol that come under group licenses and all different things?
There's club licenses that you could apply for the UFW type of a thing. There's brewery license. There's distilleries. Those are all fall under the ABC, and there's a list of those types of things that could happen, but there's restrictions within. But a regular consumption license, those are based on population, and we're at 3 because of 30,000, because of
every 10,000.
It's every 3,000. I'm sorry, I have my numbers wrong. It's every 3,000, and we have 10,000. Full-time residents.
Is there any type of license for special events? So I don't know if it would qualify, but if they're going to do a wedding, would they be allowed?
There are. There's and there's even recurring special events. So there's a there. They
maybe that's something.
Yeah, There's
like caterers frequently pull in their own liquor people. Like at some of the different places around here that don't have liquor licenses. So. That could be something, too.
You could do a workshop on that, too.
Yeah, I mean, and anything. I'm trying to attract businesses that are going to serve the community. And, again, that's the first question I get.
Yeah.
So we're looking at every alternative possible.
Right.
But
We can also do a working session and just to brainstorm this idea also. If you're interested,
sure.
That's something you can schedule with us too.
And I think you're solving the broken window philosophy here. You're fixing all the broken windows, so that's going to attract people that are going to be interested in improving that area.
Yeah, I've been communicating with all of the tenants on a weekly basis so that they're aware of the construction process and what we're doing. And I've been sending them before and after pictures, and it's truly amazing to look at what the sidewalk looks like before and after. I would encourage you to go see the property tomorrow and then go back in a couple of months and look at the completed product.
You know, sometimes your tenants will bring you another tenant, too.
Yeah, I've been doing this a long time, and I actually offer incentives, and I give a finder's fee, referral fee, to any tenant that brings me another tenant.
It does work at times.
Yeah.
Okay, what else do you have, Mr. McAndrews? What else do you have in your thing so we can move this along?
Yeah, we have a little bit of testimony on the seeker.
Please do the testimony. So let's get this done.
Okay, there are four variances listed in Mr. McLaren's report. We're going to do away with one of them. So the first variance is sign height for the main sign. 30 feet is required or allowed, 34 feet is proposed. The freestanding sign area, whereas 200 square feet is allowed, we're 320 square feet. It added the electronic message board, and it raised up the top sign to add a bigger sign for Acme at the top. We're doing away with the variance for the monument signs that we had them proposed at 7 feet, revised the plan to make them 6 feet, so we don't need that variance. And the allowable pad site monument sign areas is allowed to be 24 square feet, and we're proposing 40 square feet. It might be a little less than that when we calculate it, but Roger said 40, we'll go with that for now. So that is our variance request for this whole project, which is a wonderful thing. And we're gonna do it under the C2 criteria. Now, the purpose of this act would be advanced by a deviation from the zoning ordinance requirements, and the benefits of the deviation would substantially outweigh any detriments for the grant of this variance. When you go to C2 variance, there are special reasons, one of which is purposes of zoning, and A is, in my opinion, one we could use right off the bat. It says to encourage municipal action to guide the appropriate use of development of all lands in the state in a manner which will promote public health, safety, morals, and general welfare. As we all know, when we're riding down a street like Wellington Avenue at a decent speed with a lot of cars and it's a shopping center, you want to see where you want to go. They're not big monument signs. You want to go to Burger King, you'll be able to pick that up. If you want to go to Starbucks, you'll be able to pick that up. And we get the other monument sign for the other pad site, you'll be able to see which entrance you want to use on a busy street. We feel it promotes the general welfare. So that's our testimony on that. And as in all cases, we do have to prove some negative criteria. There's two prongs to the negative criteria, which are, if you're going to grant the variance, it has to be done without substantial detriment to the public good, without substantially impairing the intent and purpose of the zoning ordinance. Well, the public good, in my opinion, is satisfied by the fact that we are creating a safer environment for traffic to get to a specific site, enter where they want to enter, and it'll be better for traffic safety and the public itself. If they go in the wrong entrance, they're going to be riding through the shopping center. If they go in the monument sign with the entrance nearest that, you've created all that less conflict on site. And as far as the second prong, where without substantially impairing the intent and purpose of the zone plan and zoning ordinance, the city graciously provided this redevelopment plan. We are providing the safest way to use this redevelopment plan. So for those reasons, I feel that the variances are justified for that. Okay? Now, if you want me to, Roger had a lot of comments. I can go through them, and we agree to them all. There was nothing in there that we had anything against. Roger, is there anything you specifically need? I mean, we certainly can go through it, but they're very reasonable comments. We have no
put on the record that, you know, we spoke, we've met several times, and again, that you agreed to them, and some of these are where practical. If they're not practical, you don't have to do it.
And with regard to the flood, we have to raise the floor 0.9 of a foot. So a foot we have to go up, and then we're going to floodproof 3 feet above that to meet the criteria for FEMA.
You mean dry floodproofing, so you'll have removable gates
yes.
and different things.
That extra 3 feet above that.
Yeah, so you can maintain your ADA.
Yes.
With that.
Yep.
Okay.
And paving the road, you're going to use the design criteria?
Yes, absolutely.
And the neighbors across the street, they won't have any objection to these signs, right?
No.
The Ospreys.
The Ospreys.
And if I hear from one of them, send them to you.
Okay.
The rower.
Okay. I think they already found my car.
So that's what we have.
Okay.
That's our justification, and We ask that you look favorably upon it.
All right. Mr. Vicangelo, are you complete? Okay. You are in agreement with Mr. McLaren's report?
Yes.
You've read the report and everything?
Yes.
Okay.
Public.
Pardon me?
Public exclusion.
We're going to get there.
Oh, sorry, I thought you were on.
No, I'm getting there yet. So at that time. So at this time, we're going to open up to the public. Is there anyone in the public who wishes to make comment on this application? If so, please signal or you'll be addressed and come forward. Yes, sir. Please come forward and be sworn.
Your name and address, please.
Hi, I'm Lee Widman at 1707 4800 Boardwalk.
Lee Widman?
Widman, W-I-D as in David, M-A-N.
Okay, Mr. Widman, do you swear affirm the testimony you're about to give will be the truth?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay, I'm part of also the Vetner Green Team, and it's hard because I have not seen the plans or anything like that before that, but everything seems good. Concerns I have are over when you're doing the plants, hopefully you do diversity in the plants and not some single-sided, like all oak. I mean, oak is great. I'm sure you did, and then the other one is use native plants when possible. The other thing is I've done cleanups on Wellington Avenue, and I would appreciate if that barrier that you're creating with the plants and stuff like that, or I don't know, some kind of small fencing would keep it from blowing into the Wellington Avenue and the ocean.
Well, so the plants are pretty tight. There's a lot of low-lying shrubs very close to one another between the large trees. That will certainly create a barrier catch, so to speak.
Right.
And as I said, as I pointed out, Mr. Griffin's to maintain this property. So then he gets up there and we'll be there within 10 hours and we'll be okay. So that's the latest thing we want. It's going to be an incredible new face for the city of Denver.
Yeah, sounds great. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir. Anyone else wishes to make a comment before the board? Hearing no requests, seeing no requests, public portion is now closed. Mr. McAndrews, do you have anything further that you wish to add to finalize?
No, I think it's pretty straightforward, pretty positive. So I'll leave it at that. Thank you.
Okay.
I do want to also point out, they mentioned that they're putting electrical vehicle charging stations. That's in the ordinance, and it's also in the redevelopment plan, as is the green development for the solar panels. So they're utilizing just about all the redevelopment recommendations.
Right. Okay. Any board members have any questions or discussion with the applicant or the board? If not, we're going to go right to a resolution for a vote on the application.
All right. It's a motion and a second for preliminary and final major site plan approval. There's three variances all related to the signage. The height of the freestanding signs at 34 feet where 30 feet is permitted. The area of the freestanding sign is 324 square feet, it looks like, where 200 feet is permitted, square feet is permitted. And then the area of the monument signs, 24 square feet is allowed and 40 square feet is proposed by the, up to 40 square feet is proposed by the applicant. And then the conditions, I'll just note, they said they did agreed with everything in Mr. McLaren's report. Standard conditions, all representations made by the applicant during the course of the hearings, subject to any other outside approvals you might need. I assume you got to go to the county, and that's pretty much it. So we need a motion and a second.
Okay. May I have a motion, please? Second, please. Roll call vote. State your reasons.
Commissioner Creevel?
It's hard not to relist all the positive aspects of this. So I won't. We've heard them all, but there are many. The fact that they have signed up already clients like Starbucks and Burger King, national brands, that are going to really bring a new face to the interview that Vetner has when they drive into our probably largest gateway, most used gateway. It's not just the improvements that I see here, it's the momentum to bring people back and put a positive space on that entrance to Ventnor that I would give my wholehearted yes to this application. I would just say that another sidebar would be that with the improvements to the parking, that I think you'll find that people will use it as a space to bring their cars in during nuisance flooding, which I don't think anybody, I think Starbucks will appreciate that. You know, there'll be more people, I think, going to that improved parking lot. So, good luck.
Tom Halpin?
This project is huge. It's fantastic. I think it's really cleaning up that gateway area of the city. Thank you.
Jay Cook?
I'm going to vote in favor of the application. Well, first of all, I think that they've taken the redevelopment plan to heart and are really trying to work within the guidelines of that and achieve it. And there was a lot of thought that went into that, and there's more thought, I think, going into putting it into practice. So I have to applaud the applicant for that, first of all. But they're also doing it within the framework of our master plan, of our zoning ordinances, and for the needs of the people in the city of Ventnor. And I think that's me. This is all three of them are geared to one thing, the needs of the people. And this is who we serve, and this is who that center has to serve. Now, the aspects are that getting into the three variances. When you look at the sign variances, you look at the other things that are there. You look at the size of the site, and you look at the number of people that are served, and so on down the line. The variances are very de minimis. And in fact, actually, what the variances do is they add demarcation to the site. They allow information to go in and direction. So they move for success. And though they're a negative in one sense, it's a variance, they're a positive as far as the use and physical use of the center. So they enhance our zoning and enhance our, actually we have another component in there, which is a financial aspect to our master plan. And this also rings to the financial aspect to the city as well. The traffic area, the idea is of moving and creating pad sites, gives new embodiment to the center, fresh look. We need that. It goes into expanding and developing what is already there and expanding the financial base of the city itself with that. So, and finally of all of them, I have to congratulate this team. They did an excellent job as far as presentation, but they also did an excellent job in reading our ordinances and justifying everything within our ordinances. I vote yes.
Roman Zavihatch?
I also am in favor of this application. As a board member that we discussed the redevelopment plan, it really does please me to see something that we thought about and planned and see it being fulfilled and implemented. So that's fantastic. This application not only will be, as Mr. Friedel said, is a gateway to our city, but also people from Margate and Longport use Wellington to get to their house. I'm sure by these improvements, there'll be more activity at the mall because of the amenities that are going to be provided, the attractiveness of it. It's just going to snowball in a very positive way. So I'm very, very enthusiastic, yes, and I hope you're right. It starts tomorrow.
It's actually already started.
Dan Smith?
I'm also going to vote in favor of the application. There's no negative aspects. I was involved with years ago with the Bella family who originally owned the property, and they just really didn't have any interest in doing anything, which was unfortunate. But we're lucky to have Mr. Greco and his commitment and passion and a Ventnor resident to make this a real gateway entry that vendor will be well proud of, and I really look forward to seeing it happen, and it's been a long time coming, and I wish you the best of luck.
Lauren Salata?
I think this project is truly a catalyst to really kickstart what we need. Ventnor is more business-friendly, business that appears a little more upscale, and, I mean, to drive into Ventnor on Wellington Avenue, it's like you want to close your eyes. It's so awful. And, you know, people don't want to stop there. It's shoddy looking. It's, people are hanging around. It's just awful. And, you know, what you're doing here is just, it's inviting, and people will come. And the whole city benefits. And I think it's very exciting. Checks all the boxes for the master plan. And I can see no flaw with it. So I wish you the best of luck. I vote yes.
Tim Coop?
I also vote yes. I think it's an exceptional plan and will be great for Ventnor. Sign variances are de minimis, and you need them on a site that this large. I'm there every day, so I look forward to watching the improvements. So thank you.
Greer Gaskell?
I also vote yes. The variances are very de minimis. They're asking for, again, like people have said, the main artery. If you do what you say, it's going to look great. Right now, it's always looked really bad. It sounds like you really do have your act together. Listening to you, and I wish you good luck, and thank you.
Wendy Barlow?
I of course vote in favor of this application. I mean, thank you for everything you're doing. And the fine variances are de minimis. It was, in fact, I think they'll light up the area and actually improve the visibility and the appealingness of the area. Thank you. Good luck.
You're complete.
Congratulations. It's a boy and a girl. Let the record reflect that Mr. Tocco is now rejoining the board and as a sitting member, voting member. The next application is that of 111 North Dorset Avenue. And Commissioner Kriebel, because it's a use variance, is recusing himself, and he is leaving the board for the evening. Thank you, Commissioner.
Oh, Saturday. Okay. Oh, you told me. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it is.
That was too much. I
don't have
any of that. I'm going to do a preamble and stuff. I get rid of that stuff. Yeah, I didn't know we were having this.
I
believe someone was prepared.
No. Oh, he can't vote yet? Okay. So I guess you got to go to him.
Yeah, we've got everything here. Do you want to see this?
Yeah, I'll share when you look.
Well, maybe Pete wants to look at it, so here.
Does everybody have a report?
No.
Which one of you is Mike Salgado?
Okay, here.
Right, Mike, please have you're going to have everybody sworn first. Then,
Clarence
is going to do his report.
You want to see the application?
He's going to list everything. And then you have yours straight through. You just go. And then you're done.
Yeah. Okay, this is yours. Yeah.
Is Greer happy?
Yeah.
Okay. No, I spent like a...
And let the record reflect that Tom Halpin has also recused himself from this particular application.
Here, why don't I do some of this?
Now we have how many people? One, two, three, four, five, six, and seven. We have enough for a use variance.
Beautiful.
All right.
Just how much crap.
Good afternoon, good evening, everybody. Michael J. Soligato of the Law Office of Michael J. Soligato here on behalf of the applicant, New Heights VC LLC. I have three potential witnesses, two professionals, and one of the co-members of the LLC.
Okay. We'll get all three sworn in. So we'll go Mr. Bechtold, Ralph, and then your planner. So go ahead. Just state your name and address.
Andrew Bechtold, 599 Shore Road, Summers Point, New Jersey.
All right. Mr. Pappas.
Ralph Pappas, 1 West Colorado, Absecon, New Jersey.
And Mr. Thomas, right?
Yes. George Ray Thomas, 599 Shore Road in Summers Point also.
If you each please raise your right hand, each swear affirm the testimony you're going to give tonight will be the truth?
Yes.
That's great. Thanks.
Mr. Thomas, are you an architect? No. Which, who's the professional? You have one as a planner?
Mr. Bechtold's.
Okay. You're in Summers Point and you're in Summers Point. Let the record reflect your credentials are acceptable before the board.
Thank you.
And Roger, you're up. We're going to have Mr. McLaren read his report into the record as a preamble so that everybody can follow along with the case.
Hit and lead off. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Board members, the report is originally dated September 5th, 2022 in regard to the application of New Heights VC LLC, 111 North Dorset Avenue, Block 155, Lot 5, Ventnor, New Jersey, seeking C variances and a D variance for the use. Located in the COMM zone or City Commercial District, FEMA zone elevation 9 based on a preliminary perm. It's both a C2 and a use variance. Materials reviewed on bottom of page 1. Continued on page 2. Project description is as follows. The applicant is seeking relief in order to replace an existing non-conforming fire damage mixed-use structure with a non-conforming use duplex within the commercial zone. Applying CCOM zoning requirements yield a few variances as outlined below. The intent of the master plan is maintaining a commercial or mixed use in the designated zones and not to replace commercial use with additional housing only. The COM zone is surrounded by the R7 zone, which is single family with certain duplexes and conditional uses. The applicant has also contrasted the R7 zoning standards. However, the site is not within the R7 zone. A permitted use in the commercial zone is a detached single family home. Duplexes are not. So therein lies the use variance with certain proofs and criteria that have to be met. There are two other variances being sought. One is a lot coverage where 60% is permitted, 74.5% is proposed. A building height variance of 35 feet from grade, and they're seeking 36 feet. However, I do believe the applicant has adjusted that to eliminate that variance, but I will leave it up to his testimony to confirm that or deny. No waivers have been requested, but basically the gist of this application is the use variance, so I turn it over to the applicant at this time.
Thank you. Just to start off, the co-managing member of the LLC, Nicholas Nikos, just want me to apologize on his behalf. They couldn't attend tonight. He had a family issue come up last minute. So with that being said, for the record, all jurisdictional requirements have been met. Since McLaren stated, we're here for a D use variance and two C variances, a lot coverage and building height C variances. The property itself has been vacated since September 2nd, 2020 after an electrical fire. As of the date of this hearing, the property still remains boarded, fire scarred, and is a dramatic eyesore to the community. Earlier this year, the applicant purchased this property with a vision of creating an attractive addition to the block with a strong curb appeal with benefits not just to the applicant but to the neighborhood where it stands. I think it's further important to note that the existing structure located on the property contains several non-conforming conditions. Our application eliminates all but two non-conforming conditions. Moreover, the proposed structure would, as I stated, only requires a bulk variance for the maximum lot coverage and the building height, which, as Roger again stated, are presently existing non-conformities, but they would not need a bulk variance if they were in the R7 unit. Additionally, we've made a couple quick changes to the application itself and the plans since the application was submitted, which include removing some bedrooms. So now each unit has three bedrooms. There's also, with taking away those bedrooms that were in the original plans, that reduces the building coverage to 48.3% and the lot coverage to 71.5%. Existing now, I believe, is 73. We reduced the height of the building by 1 foot, and we added street trees to the plans. So with that being said, I have Mr. Bechtold and Mr. Thomas here to discuss the neighborhood pattern, the current condition of the property, and the proposed application. I turn it over to them.
Mr. Thomas,
do you want to go over the, I guess we'll address the use variance first. Is the use particularly suited for where the property is located?
It is. This property is essentially, or this project is really a reclamation project. The permitted use would be commercial or a single family home. Neither of those are going to be economically viable to reclaim this property. The proposal here is to construct two units of a modest size, which would allow the building to be removed, replaced with something that's considerably more attractive than what was there and what is there.
And with the proposed plan, could you go into some of the positive criteria for the use variance?
Yeah, well, probably the biggest single issue is providing additional off-street parking. We propose 8 parking spaces. There would be absolutely no impact other than a reduction of what would otherwise be required for on-street parking for, you know, a different configuration. Parenthetically, that plays into the height issue. If we're going to park underneath the building and have 2 stories above, you know, we do need to ask for this 18-inch variation, but I recognize that was not your question.
Is there any other positive criteria as far as raising the house?
You know, well, we're promoting public health, safety, morals, and the general welfare, and specifically we're securing the property from the safety from flood, which is a stated purpose of the zoning plan here. We're also promoting, as I mentioned, a desirable visual environment, far better than what has been there and what is there now. The significant thing I mentioned about reducing any need whatsoever for on-street parking, which in turn promotes the safety and free flow of traffic, and we are promoting also appropriate population densities. This sufficiently establishes the special reasons that are typically referred to as the positive criteria.
So for the negative criteria for the use variance, is there a substantial detriment to the public good or character of the neighborhood?
I don't believe there's any detriment. The parking issue sort of overwhelms everything.
Would there be a substantial impairment to the intent and purpose of the zoning plan and zoning ordinance?
I don't believe there's any impairment.
We'll go on to the variances. I'll bring Andrew in to add to this.
Sure. Addressing the other modifications that were to the plan since Roger's report, what we did is we essentially removed 1 bedroom off of the back side of the building and then changed another bedroom into a den study space. After COVID, everybody needed a home office or a place for kids to do homework and that kind of stuff that wasn't their bedrooms. So reduced the overall building coverage and the lot coverage by about 130 square feet by doing that. Again, the height, we were listing the height from basically zoning flood elevation, which typically would have been 3 feet above base flood. So our height what we thought our height was around 30 feet of height, so we thought we were 5 feet under, but Roger informed me that it's really from the curb that he wants us to measure the structure from because of the zone that it's in. If this is a residential structure, we'd actually be significantly below the height that would be required or be allowed here. We'd be under by 5 feet. However, because of the commercial district that we're in, we have to measure from the top of the curb. The new top of curb here is going to be around like 5.5, 5.58. So we're actually going to be 37 feet from curb. So we're over by a little bit on the total height based on the commercial. However, this being a residential project, we are proposing to try to stay, within reason of that. Again, to get the parking off the street by raising the house. We're providing 8 off-street parking spaces where only 4 would be required with a 3-bedroom unit. So we're doubling the parking here, so there's ample parking. There's parking for each bedroom and then some. So there's quite a bit of additional parking. That additional parking kind of translates into the coverage because, again, we're providing more off-street parking. There's going to be more hardscape to have that parking off-site. So that also affects why we're asking for the coverage variance. Since we did reduce the size of the structure, we're actually under the size of what is currently there. The current conditions on site for the impervious coverage or the lot coverage was around 73%. We're going to be now about 71.5%, so we are reducing it. We're also adding a bit more grass to this and quite a bit more in the front. We're going to be adding also some street trees. Currently, there's really nothing on the site, so we want to add those street trees and kind of obviously beautify the neighborhood with this. That, I think, represents most of the testimony.
To go into the negative criteria for the C variance, the building height, lot coverage, is there any substantial detriment to the public character?
Again, none, because we're trying to get the parking underneath the lot. There's really not a good way to park down the side. We have 2 stacked parking spaces, so you don't even have people jockeying cars in and out because you've stacked 4 deep or something like that. This will allow for a much cleaner way of people pulling in and out the site. And again, that helps prevent flood, et cetera, because we're lifting this up a little higher than what flood would require anyway.
Would there be a substantial impairment to the intent and purpose of the zoning plan or the zoning plan?
Again, the R7 zone is directly behind this, and this zone allows single-family homes. So residential use is not permitted here. It is permitted here. It's just that they don't want to have the density of 2. Currently, there's a duplex with a commercial unit in front of it right now, albeit it is highly damaged. We're actually reducing the density by 1 unit. So we're kind of splitting the difference of kind of the zone and blending it with what's behind it, which is, again, an R7, which permits the duplexes. So we think this is a good blend of all that and also trying to clean up the neighborhood as quickly as possible to make that area as nice as possible.
R7 doesn't permit duplexes unless it's conditional use. Nothing. Are you complete?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Before I turn it over to the board, I just think it's important to mention, too, the applicant actually owns and operates 2 other commercial buildings in the city of Ventnor. One he uses as for himself, for his personal business. The other he did a complete renovation on and rented out to a restaurant. I think the property sitting since 2020 until the applicant purchased it this year is kind of telling to the commercial viability in that area. And also, as Mr. Thomas and Mr. Bechtel stated, to the parking situation in that area. So, with that being said, I thank you for your time, and I turn it over to the board for any questions.
I have a question. What did you mean by the commercial viability of the area that you just stated?
Well, I think that, it's sat vacant for almost 3 years now. I think if a commercial client thought it was a viable idea to operate a business in there, it would have been purchased by now.
Yeah. How many commercial structures have gone in there in the last 3 years?
In that area?
Yeah.
That I know of, and I've lived in Ventnor for a long time, and now I live in Margate. I in that property, that's been completely vacant since the fire. Again, it remains boarded up and burn scars and everything.
Okay. Why wouldn't a burned-out building be vacant?
Well, I'm not saying that the burned-out building wouldn't be vacant. I'm saying that within 3 years, somebody would have purchased it and renovated it or built a new commercial property.
Why didn't the owner tear it down like it should be?
Yeah. I mean, there's been opportunities for other commercial clients to do that.
Why wasn't it torn down?
After the fire?
Yeah.
I came into this when my clients purchased the property this year.
All right. That was not your bailiwick in there. Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Board members, any questions of the applicant?
I have a question for Andrew. Andrew, so what height do you need to make this parking underneath work?
Well, the parking, typically parking underneath the building would be about 8 feet. That's enough to get a garage door and the height of the car and any other ancillary stuff that's in the ceiling. Normally don't see many garages less than 8 feet tall.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have approximately a foot of structure for the floor. The second floor unit, we actually reduced from 9 foot down to 8'6". So there's a little bit of space there for that residential unit. And then the top unit, again, is an 8 foot ceiling, but then we have to maintain a 5-on-12 pitch. We could potentially modify the roofs enough to get us down the 2 feet and do like some double gables and stuff like that. But again, this is kind of it's a cross gable, which kind of minimizes the height of a building when you're looking at it visually because you don't see a big A coming at you. So again, to the tops of the two towers that are kind of in the front of the building, that's down approximately 3 feet anyway. So those towers are basically at the height. It would just mean the rest of the roof would have to come down behind it in some manner. Again, we could do some other manipulation of the roof to potentially make that work. But again, it's visually reduced because of that cross gable. You're just seeing asphalt as opposed to seeing wall.
If you were in the R7 zone, you'd be allowed a little bit of additional height per the ordinance.
Correct, yes, sir.
My recommendation to the board is if they get approval for this duplex use or two-family use, whatever you want to address it, that the height should be allowed to conform to whatever the R7 would allow. I mean, the residential use is, we have to get these buildings up higher. You can't floodproof a residential use. That's just my recommendation.
Roger, I do have a second question, though.
Yep.
If this was a single family, which is a permitted use here, would the ZFE then change because it's not a commercial building?
We give it 8 feet above the top of curb.
Right.
Just for the garage, if you want to put parking on below.
Correct. So then
35 feet above that.
Right. So this is still, if that was the case, if this was a single family, this would still be like 5 feet under in height. Correct?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
I'm sorry. I wasn't adding while you were talking.
Sorry.
What was the total?
The total height from the curb is like 37 foot 6 inches. On the plan, we're showing the dimension from the finished garage floor. Again, because I was unaware of how they wanted to measure that from the top of curb as opposed to where everything else in the ordinance is saying height is measured from ZFE, which is base blood plus 3. That's where I was getting confused because I did not see like a commercial building height located anywhere in the ordinance.
So it's 37 in the...
Yes, ma'am.
What is the developmental pattern of the block?
There are some mixed use, there's some commercial, and there's some duplex on both sides of the block.
Could you quantify some?
There is at least another duplex on our side. There's a duplex across the street. And I believe the most recent project that has been done was down on the corner, on the east corner on our side, that was a mixed use. The advantage of that mixed use was it was a corner lot, which allowed it to have access for parking for the residential units above on the side. We don't have that here. Unfortunately, we have one direct access through the front of the building, which makes it difficult to comply with parking for if you were doing a mixed use and also have the commercial space. The other difficulty is floodproofing and designing that structure as such to be floodproof. We can certainly do that, but in this typical spot for this project, we propose to go with the two-family home.
Okay. Any other questions from the board members?
You reduced one bedroom out of each unit, and then you turned the other bedroom into a den,
study, playroom.
So how many square feet did that reduce the size of the building?
It reduced it each level by 130 square feet.
So, okay, it's 260.
Yes, sir.
And so that study, do you convert it to a bedroom?
We would not convert it to a bedroom. Again, a lot of our clients recently have wanting to have that extra play space. They have a place to entertain their friends. They have a place for the kids to hang out and throw all their stuff.
Is there a closet in that room?
Pardon?
Is there a closet in that
room? No, ma'am.
I mean, it would be, I mean, we could put it on the record to do it. The maximum three bedrooms.
Absolutely. Again, that's how we're designing the parking. So again, we're proposing to have two more per unit of parking with this design because we're going to a three-bedroom.
And that bedroom would be tight, but there's also a deed, it's Mr. Smith's point, there's also a deed restriction with the bedroom.
Okay. What's the width of the curb cut?
The width of the curb cut?
30 feet?
Yeah.
So how many, so that will take out two?
One parking space, I believe, because there's already a curb cut on the lot for the side, to get down the side. So this will actually be kind of recentered. So I believe it'll take away about one parking space on the street.
Yeah, I'm just looking on the street to see if there's one or two.
Have you tried to buy the adjoining property?
I'm sorry?
Have you tried to buy the additional properties?
I do not know if my client attempted to do that, sir. No, sir.
Can we get back to that bedroom configuration? So what I can understand better, it's you're taking bedroom number two and three, combining those into one living space?
No, what we're doing is we're removing the bedroom that was back in this farm, so I start to see it.
Okay.
So what we're totally removing this bedroom.
Number three?
Yes.
Okay.
Right. Yeah. Okay.
And then creating this den off that back area there. So that there's an extra space for set up for study, TV watching, what have you. Okay. Something separate.
Just lopping that bedroom right off.
Yes, sir. To reduce the square footage, to reduce the coverage from the building. So this
is we just put in, yeah, do we put some density right
now, right?
Some additional
side joints, I believe it does.
Beautification for that.
He just said it did, yeah.
It's planned.
We have not apparently.
It's planned. It's discussion about that. Okay. All right. I'm going to open up to the public at this point in time. Is there anyone in the public who wishes to speak on this particular application? Yes, ma'am.
You said there's a curb cut.
I'm Brenda Dowd. I'm here on behalf of the Ventnor Business Association.
Ms. Dowd, do you swear the testimony you'll give will be the truth tonight?
I do.
Thanks.
As the president of the Ventnor Business Association, we are absolutely vehemently opposed to the loss of any property in the commercial districts. I think by permitting this project, you are going down a slippery slope, because what's next? Dorset Inn? Are we going to squeeze out Red Room, PJ Buckets, Rainforest? That's where you're headed.
Well, it's been vacant for 3 years.
We've also been in COVID for 3 years.
Then we're, there's activity. I think they're commercial developers, so they have commercial property. And why wouldn't they want to put a commercial use in?
I don't know. Why wouldn't they want to put a commercial use in?
And at the corner of Edgewood, they have an advantage because they can put their parking in the back. And they have three units of with the commercial uses on the first floor.
Mm-hmm.
Here you don't.
And now you're going to add two homes, take out a parking spot, which is vital on that strip.
We've had this discussion about commercial and residential.
And when your residents back out of their driveway, are they going to back out onto Dorset?
Well, that's how the parking situation is now. Well,
so now you have, eight people backing into a county road.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a three-unit building now with one driveway.
With one driveway?
Yeah, so we're actually adding two driveways.
Eight parking places?
Well, underground parking, but you have a three-bedroom.
So you're...
And also, it's important to note that there is single-family is allowed.
But you're not building a single-family home?
But he could, though.
He could.
You're not applying for single-family, so let's not discuss single. If you're not applying for it, don't discuss it.
I think, again, I think it's important to note, and this has been testified this himself. He has two commercial buildings in this. He runs his ice cream parlor out of one. He completely renovated a huge corner lot and rented it. He brought in the client himself, sold him out, brought him in from Ocean City to bring it over here.
We're talking about 111 North Dorset Avenue, so let's talk about that.
So yes, that there would be that...
I'm not questioning Ralph's acumen as a businessman.
May I ask a question, please? May I ask a question, because we're not in it here. How many new commercial establishments have gone into that block in the last 3 or 4 years?
Wahing Lines into the Fish Market, Fish and Whistle.
Is Red Room new?
No. Red Room's not new. The Dorset's new across the street, yes.
There's at least three new ones going in. There's at least three new ones that have gone there, and there's more looking that have gone in there. Thank you.
Thank you.
I see a hand back there.
Meeting.
Name and address, please.
George Mucci, 110 North Dudley.
110 North Dudley. And please raise your right hand. You swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give will be the truth?
I do.
Thank you.
Okay. Hope you don't mind, I'm referring to my notes. I recently moved to Ventnor Heights, and one of the really compelling reasons was that market area there. I'm the block behind. I can get up in the morning and I can go have breakfast at the Dorset. I can get coffee at Ventnor Coffee. The Red Room, and I fail to object to the assertion that the area was not economically viable for mixed use. Try getting a table at the Red Room on a Thursday, Friday, or Saturday, and you'll know how exactly viable it is. They're around the block waiting to get in there. When my granddaughter comes and we go to the beach, you know, we go to the Custard's, you know, last stand. I tell my friends when they visit, park your car because you're never going to use it. You don't need it. We walk to the beach, we'll walk everywhere there. But the thing is that for that lifestyle, the reason I bought in that area and the reason my neighbors enjoy that is dependent on a vibrant commercial marketplace. That's the lifeblood of a good, strong community. And that's what's at risk here. Page two. I don't think we can erode the foundation of our community by rezoning and forever changing the landscape of that commercial marketplace. Allowing this property to go from being rezoned from mixed use to their plan for simply a residence puts the profits of an individual ahead of the desires and the benefits of the citizens and residents of Ventnor. I've been here a short time. You've been here much longer, and the roles you hold, you see this all the time. People want to come in, put up a building, flip it, make their money, move on, move out of town, whatever. But the decisions you make, we are stuck with them forever. So I take very seriously, and the reason I made the time to come out tonight, is I recognize this is something that's going to be affecting my kids when I pass the house on to them. How much commercial space is available out there. And like the Ventnor Business Association just mentioned, you're on a slippery slope. You lose these things, it's like a you know. Yeah. The point I was going to make too was the commercial viability. The corner property on Edgewater and Dorset, Wahine Wine and Fish and Hook, I think, Marketplace, that's a beautiful building. If they were talking about that, I'd be applauding like I was applauding for the Ventnor Plaza. I mean, if they're talking about doing that, fantastic. It's a burned-out building. The idea that someone didn't go in there, I don't know when it went for sale. I mean, do you know who was the previous owner? Does anyone, does the board know?
Doesn't matter.
He's in jail. Third part of Virginia.
Okay. Might have been hard to buy for him then. So I don't think, you know, the fact that it wasn't bought may not be an indicator of how viable a commercial area it is. But the idea that, you know, I would be very supportive of that. So what we're really talking about, when you look at that building plan, is we're talking about losing that vitality, that lifeblood, for garage space. You still have the condos above it. That garage space could be commercial property. You could figure out a way of doing it. And you wouldn't be changing the landscape for us. I think what we're looking at is it's like a Jenga puzzle, and we're pulling these commercial pieces out, and we're really jeopardizing the foundation of everything we're doing the more we pull these away. I would just, I don't know, I guess I'll end just by saying it again. I think allowing this property to be rezoned, allowing this property for this use, it's putting the profits of an individual ahead of the benefits of the community. And I would be very much opposed to changing that space from commercial and the mixed use it is now. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
If I just may, the applicant didn't purchase the property, you know, days, weeks, even month after it was listed. It was listed for several months before it sold.
Okay.
Several months? Okay.
Yeah.
Said earlier, two or three years, that's all.
Okay. Yes, sir. Come on forward.
My name is Kevin Apache, new property owner in Ventnor City. And first, I'd like to applaud all of you for the growth and the way the city, the landscape is changing. So thank you for that. Good news to hear what's happening at Ventnor Plaza.
It's Dupatri, like right? Dupatri? You got to get you sworn in. Dupatri?
Oh, I'm sorry. Dupatri.
Dupatri. What's your address, sir?
112. I own the property. It's not currently built, but I'm paying taxes. 112 Northwest of Hickon.
Okay.
It's under construction.
Do you swear the testimony you're going to give will be the truth?
Yes, sir.
Okay, thanks.
First and foremost, I know the property owner and his partner that own it, looking to build. I'm very familiar with their quality of homes and businesses they have built. Ralph is a business owner committed to the city of Ventnor. If you look at his properties, frequent his businesses, you can see the type of establishment he runs and the quality of the project that he did at that Mr. Gordo's. But the other piece is, I think Dorset Avenue continues the gateway that we're speaking about. There's some very nice homes there, but a lot of people, I heard someone mention traveling to Margate, the Longport, Ventnor, Atlantic City. And again, some nice homes are along there. I think a nice blend of homes and some commercial properties, the new addition to Dorset Inn, and of course that coffee shop, some very viable businesses. But if you look at some of the new construction, and I really think, my personal opinion, being a taxpayer here in Ventnor, that continuation that you brought up of that gateway coming into the city of Ventnor, I think a nice building, and of course I did see the print, I think it would truly be a positive addition to that part of our city. That's all I have to say, sir.
Thank you, sir. Is there anyone else who wishes to make comment? Yes, ma'am.
Joanne Licchio, 500 North Harvard.
I'm sorry, your last name again?
Licchio, L-I-C-C-I-O.
Ms. Licchio, do you swear from the testimony you're about to give will be the truth?
Yes.
Thanks.
Okay, I also own the Dorset, which is at 106 North Dorset. Okay, I've been a Ventnor resident for a while. I think that the property is unusable as a commercial property. We obviously were looking for a commercial property and would have never think to have looked there to put any kind of commercial property there. We've been in the restaurant business for 30 plus years. To me, it's not viable. I would like the street to look a little nicer because I think it's a gateway entryway, and I think that is an eyesore, and I think that this is the way to go. pretty much all I have.
Thank you. Okay. Any other further comments? You, sir, coming forward. Thank you.
All right. Anthony Miranda, 310 North Surrey Avenue.
Hey, Anthony, or Mr. Miranda, you swear from the testimony you're about to give will be the truth?
Yes.
Thanks.
The applicant owner, I only met him about a year ago, and although I do agree with the business association also, that property, I knew the old owner also, property's always been not the best of anything, it was never taken care of, and kind of goes by, I haven't been to one of these meetings in probably about 2-3 years, even pre-COVID, but it looks dungeony, you know, and it does not have the commercial, like the Dorset said, to put a commercial space there, it doesn't make, what are you putting there? I mean, the guy owns one business, and when he did buy it, honestly, I thought he was a little crazy. Honestly, did. I'm not going to lie. Because I think he had a commercial thinking when I heard of it, but when you have him that's in that use, and he can't come up with nothing, and he knows a lot of people, from what I hear, you're stuck with a little tiny box of commercial. There's always been renters in there and whatnot. So this is something that makes it look good, you know, kind of reminds you of maybe a little bit like Amherst Avenue in Margate. You got a little mix of some commercial, a little bit of, you know, residential. And if push comes to shove and, you know, he can't do what he needs to do, I'd probably go back on the market. I guess you have many buyers. Maybe it'll be a commercial tenant, but it'll probably sit empty, and that looks bad. Looks bad for Vetner. I have kids. I moved here from Atlantic City. I threw my stick in the Vetner. I bought my property. I built. And people thought I was crazy in 2015 and 16. They said, oh, man, you're moving to the Heights. You're going to build in the Heights. I built 4 or 5 houses in the Heights in the past 4 or 5 years. And now look what it is today. Vetner Heights looks good. You know, it really looks good. People think, like, it's not the Heights anymore. It's something different now, you know, especially after, you know, they bought the Dorset. They kind of made it look a little bit more intriguing like that. So, I mean, although it's not what everybody wants, it'll make it look something different. I don't think you're going to see a nosedive of developers going and build a residential everywhere on Dorset Avenue, though. That I don't think. But it makes it look good. And if it was commercial, where would that commercial park? Is what I don't get. Huh? Yeah. I mean, Red Room don't have park. It would be actually, if it was commercial on the bottom and residential on top, or, you know, I think it would be actually more of an issue in parking. And I'm in the parking business. I own a towing company, and parking can be a problem. And I think that would actually work better for the parking situation rather than the commercial being there. So that's all I have, all right? I appreciate everything.
Thank you. Okay. Public portion, anyone else that wishes to speak?
Can I ask a question?
Quick, yes.
What power does the city have as far as that being a burnt out building? Isn't that a game here?
If the building has the city has the ability to, if it's an eyesore, to have it torn down.
Okay.
It can go that far.
A lot of the objections up here are the way it looks now. And I think there's some responsibility either, I don't know, on the owner's part or the city's part, that to remove a burnt down building. And as far as the arguments about commercial viability, look at anywhere down along Vetner Ave, Atlantic Ave. I mean, these are all commercial entities that don't have parking lots associated with them. I mean, Dorset's lucky they do. But Vetner Coffee doesn't, right, because they can't park there. So Vetner Coffee doesn't. The new ones on the corner, Fish and Whistle and Queen, they don't have parking. I mean, none of our commercial space really has parking for it. And I understand that's an issue to worry about, but over in the Heights, we're talking about a one-block area between Edgewater and Lamont. And keeping that as a small little commercial area for the residents of the entire Vetner Heights, I think is a benefit. And that's, you know, like I said, I know people are pushing back on, yeah, it looks horrible. You know what? Whatever you guys decide, it's not going to look horrible, you know, next year.
Okay.
Either it's going to be gone, it's going to be a residential or a mixed use, but it's not going to look like it looks now.
Thank you. Okay, public, is anyone else wanting to speak? Because that public portion is now closed. Now, counselor, do you have anything further to add to your application?
I do not.
Okay, you're complete.
You
have read the Mr. McLaren's report?
I did.
And you're in agreement with it?
As always.
Okay. And you have nothing further to add. Board members, do you have any questions of the applicant or our professionals? Okay, now we're going to go right to a resolution and about, do you have anything to charge the board with otherwise?
No, I mean, it involves a use variance, so you need five yeses.
All right.
And then there's two, so there's a use variance to allow the duplex, and then there's two C variances for lot coverage. I think the testimony was it's 71.5%, where 60% is permitted. And then, Roger, building height, I believe Mr. Bechtel said they're 37.5 feet from top of curb. If approved,
I would say if they get approved as residential, that they have to comply, they may comply with the residential height requirements.
Okay. And then the other conditions, I'll just note, anything in Mr. McLaren's report, the standard conditions, subject to any outside approvals, I believe Dorset's a county road, all representations made during the course of the hearings. There are going to be 3-bedroom units, is that correct?
Okay.
That's correct.
Yes. So that's what we have.
Okay.
Are you complete?
Yep.
May I have a motion and a second, please?
I'll make the motion.
I'll second it.
We'll have a roll call vote. State your reasons.
Jay Cook?
I'm going to vote no on this application. If there was ever an application to vote no on, this is the one. I disagree with the planners, with the architects there. Mr. Muncy, or George Muncy, he probably hit it right on the head with his comments going in there. The director of the president of the Businessmen's Association also hit the head right on it. Bingo. I have watched this entire block, and I live very close to the block. We're down 200 feet. And I can walk the most everything in there. I know right now that this has more, the traffic counts in here have tremendous amount of business and going in not only from Ventnor, but from down Beach. The traffic, the business is constantly improving. The environment for that particular block is getting vastly better in the last 3 to 4 years. The place that just opened is a winner. Every business that's gone in there has been a winner. BJ Buckets in there has done well. That's gone through the pickleball court has done well. Everything that's gone in there has done well commercially. If we were to give this property away right now to as a residential property, we'd be fools. We would be fools. I would be foolish. I should quit right now because it's a bad mistake. And if you get in further, the arguments are that because we have 8 parking places, we should have residential. No. The entire city exists with very little parking for commercial, and it flourishes. The guy into anywhere, shape, or form. It's working. You don't throw the baby out with the bath water. That's the case. There's talk about applying, well, if it was R7, you could have it. It's not R7. We don't want R7 there, in there, as far as it goes. Justifying using bedrooms, and discussion on bedrooms to justify the need for a use variance, doesn't get it. It just doesn't even go to the tests of being in there. The plan itself, it's a nice plan. It's a good plan. But it doesn't meet the needs of the neighborhood. Things have changed in the community. Things are changing in the community. We have viability, financial viability going on in here. We have service to the community. Things that make our support the people that live in the neighborhood. That's what this block is doing. And the next block up in the 300 block as well with the CVS pharmacy, the other restaurants. that block is flourishing very well also. So anything that's gone in there has done well. And to characterize this as not being, just the traffic alone going through as a gateway to this city, it is part of our gateway. And it should be developed in Gateway and developed for the benefit of the residents of the city of Ventnor and their tax base. And so that is my feeling, and I'm very adamant about that as well. I vote no, big time.
Norman Zabihach.
I also vote no on the application, specifically on the use change. I concur with what our engineer said, that the intent of the master plan was to maintain a commercial or mixed use in this zone. This application does not achieve that. With regard to doing anything, the site will have to be, the structure would have to be demolished. You have a vacant site. And one of the things we talked about in the past with other applications, we'd like to see no variances on any new development. This proposal of residential, as good as it looks, does create variances, and for that reason, I'm against the application. Thirdly, in looking at the scale of this residential development, it's really out of character with the neighborhood. I think we should try to maintain, as best we can, commercial viability along Dorset. So the answer is no.
Dan Smith.
I'm going to vote in favor of the application. I think we have a healthy environment here of knowledgeable people on the board. We can see this a lot of different ways, but I just see that when property lays fallow for a number of years, you have to find something to do with it, and you have a suitor here who is knows the commercial market and can't find something to do with it. I feel that this might be the best use for it, but I respect everybody's opinion, and that's the way I see it. So I'm in favor.
Peter Taco.
Tough decision here. I, on one hand, applaud the building that they're proposing, but I also feel that the loss of the commercial space, especially in that area, living three blocks from there, being able to walk to different commercial establishments, myself, my guests, they really appreciate that. You lose it, you never get it back. I have to vote no.
Lorraine Salata.
I really can't think of any reason why I would take commercial space away from Dorset Avenue. I think a mixed use is great if they want to do that. But I think we need to protect our business districts, our commercial districts. People utilize them, they appreciate them, they like the idea that they can walk to different places, they don't have to take a car, they don't have to drive a bike. And in more recent years, the businesses that have opened on Dorset Avenue have been successful. And I think also what a lot of people forget, and it's easy for the business owners to remind people, but the lot at CVS, that's not strictly for CVS. That's a lot that is people that are shopping on Dorset Avenue are permitted to use. So, you know, to say there's no parking, maybe you don't want to take the extra step because parking is difficult on Dorset, but that lot, you can always find a spot. So I vote no for the application and wish them luck on whatever they decide to do with it.
Tim Coop.
I also vote no. I just, the loss of the commercial space in the middle of a commercial district, I think is a significant loss. It is a challenging lot. It is an eyesore, but I can't compromise away the commercial space because it happens to be an eyesore. I hope it gets fixed. While that's a nice plan, I think a duplex does not fit there, and I wouldn't want to see the commercial space go away.
Greer Gaskell?
I'm going to vote yes. I know three businesses that were in that property over the years. There was a tax service in there, there was a locksmith in there, and as a child, there was a sandwich shop in there, and none of them ever made it. I think if they had any value currently for commercial, somebody would have bought it and put commercial in there. And I respect everybody else's opinion.
You're complete.
Motion does not carry.
Two yeses, five noes.
No.
It's five noes. It's not carry. It is not approved.
Thank you.
At this time, is there any other business before the board? It may have a motion for adjournment.
Oh, no, I just have one thing to say.
Okay.
Roger, I'll address it to you because Jay told me to.
Okay.
But now, on a lot of the applications that we have, you know, voted on in the past, it doesn't seem like a lot of them, you read the resolution or the conditions that we put on things, they're not followed at all. And I don't know if, you know, building department, code enforcement is not looking at the resolution. It, like, one, it comes to mind, but Anthony Miranda has had two different projects before us, and he's never followed through with any of the conditions that we put on the resolution. So,
which one?
The one where he was just supposed to paint the side of the building?
He did.
No, he didn't.
Who's this?
Not painted.
Anthony Marotta. Yeah. So one section of red brick, he painted it black.
He painted it black, yeah. Right.
I was done.
He did that.
He did everything he was supposed to do on that.
Yeah. Okay, well then I thought maybe I misunderstood what all he was going to do. I'll just take another look at that. And then the other one, Mr. Hicken, that the duplex was built there.
That was in front of the board. That was denied.
Okay.
Peter will tell you, I'm out there at every board.
Okay.
I make him do it.
Well, I know in the past there's been so much.
Why not?
Been follow-up. So.
All right. Is everybody complete? Do we have a motion for adjournment?
I'll make the motion.
Second.
Okay. We're adjourned. Okay.
I can't wait to drive by that.